next week, Microsoft may be starting their diskless transition either because of or in order to boost the popularity of Game Pass. Optical Media's death knell beckons. This is just one rumor in a night of gaming news. Stay tuned on this Marchio evening for the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 767 for this March the 10th of 2019, or Mar 10, Mario, with what is actually take two of Orange Lounge Radio tonight. So for those that are watching live, yes, you are living a little deja vu right now.
Thanks, Thor.
Yeah, anyway, I'll explain that in a moment. Welcome back, Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Yo.
How are you doing?
I'm orangey.
Yes.
Orange.
Hey, look, and she's on the camera a little bit. She's
a little
She's at an angle where she can kind of choose.
I'm Dr. Claw.
Yeah, she can kind of choose.
I can pinch heads.
When she wants to be on cam or not.
Your head's harder to get now.
Is your mic on? Because I can't even see the chat.
I had it on.
Oh, it's weird. I don't know.
Anyway. Fuck you, Mike.
I can't. Hey, my name's Mike, and I don't like your attitude. No, I'm just kidding. I can't see chat right now. So here's what's going on. Also, joining
I will look at the chat.
Techmaster Loki.
I'm here as well.
So
surprise.
Things are a little crazy tonight because we just got through about 5 minutes of show, and then a power surge took out the show completely, which, you know, have been there, done that, right? Gosh, Rob, won't you get your stupid...
God, the back of my head's all messed up.
What do you call the thing they keep telling me to buy?
It's the UPS.
The UPS. God, Rob, when are you going to get your UPS? But I don't think a UPS would have stopped that whole thing because we have too much stuff wired up. It's on two separate outlets. So, yeah, I don't even think that would have saved us. But here we are, back for take two of our show this evening. So I was talking to Dark Sakura about welcoming her back after I know she's been on a bit of a hiatus. And we've had a special show here and there.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have you back in studio with us. What did we miss while you were gone?
Bullshit.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
We had a death in the family last week.
I'm sorry to hear that. We were all thinking of you guys last week as well.
Oh, thank you. I would prefer being thought of in the form of money or donuts.
Fair enough.
But not pheromone. I really was just doing a lot of work, and now my schedule has changed. I work 4/10s now. So I get 3 days off a week.
Nice.
And I get off my lunch in time to go to the cafeteria at work where they serve really good food and $7 pizza. I actually, in that last few months, I've dropped about 10 pounds.
Congrats.
So thank you. I the schedule changed because I got the position at work I wanted. So yay. And I'm sorry, we have some chatception here, so let me switch my...
Yeah, I was just about to say, so let me set the stage real quick, too, because what I was talking about before we got zapped the first time was that I was mentioning for the folks that do watch live on Twitch, mm-hmm. or if you are watching in the archives because you're a subscriber over at VOG Network, we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at twitch.tv/VOG Network. You can subscribe and get the video on demand, or of course the podcast, which is what this is all is anyway, is going to be free like it always has been for the past 15 plus years we're doing it. But if you are watching the video, you're going to notice the angle is very different tonight because we wanted to be able to work Dark Soccer in, but in a way where she can be on camera when she feels like it.
I'm still a little camera shy, y'all.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do like the idea you were talking about using wigs, and your hair looks fantastic tonight.
Well, thank you. This is my new dye job. It's messy. Why did no one tell me the back of my head was this messy? but it is flamingo on the roots and orange and peach.
All right. So fair enough.
It was expensive.
All right. Well, look.
I got to look good for DragCon.
Our show got cut so abruptly the first time that I didn't even get to introduce in studio here.
Can't even see it, but I was going
to... Why are we all playing up to the video? It's a podcast.
We're playing up to the video. This makes good for good weather podcasting. We're weather podcasting.
Oh, is that a weather map you're trying to show people?
Yeah, I was just trying to... You can't see it because video.
Yeah.
It doesn't work well. But as you see, there's a giant red... thing.
I see. So there's one of those big red cells that's right over the neighborhood right now. That's fantastic.
It looks like a little...
Why does this always happen Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, just in time for OLR?
And for the record, I have coffee.
Okay, look.
Of my own.
I also want to introduce, she's not on camera because she's camera shy, and we respect that. People don't have to be on camera if they don't want to be, but it's always a pleasure to have her in studio. It's been a long time since we've seen you, Misty OLR, joining us tonight, all the way from St. Louis, Missouri.
And yes, I would have called last week to warn y'all and myself, but considering things were going weird with the weather then, it was threatening to snow, I decided to just pull an all-nighter at the airport before I flew out to ultimately San Diego.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, even if the travel plans were a little, you know, on the fly. But even though Misty isn't on camera, I did notice she put her little mascot on camera for us all to see with her travel transit card. So it's a little hard to see on camera, but for those of you that are watching on Twitch, you can see a little piece of Misty on the camera. So Misty, it is fantastic to have you here. You've been listening to OLR a long time, right?
Yep.
What was your first episode?
If I'm remembering accurately,
91. Okay, so you've been listening a very long time. Probably the only person listening longer than you is Dark Tetsuya. Maybe a couple other people in chat. What do you think about, and I'm not to put you on the spot or anything, but what do you think about this whole move to Twitch that we did recently? Are you into it, or you think it wasn't a good move for us, or what?
I'm still evaluating, but also I'm kind of also mentally comparing back to the days when I would do Twitch as part of somebody's rock band stream.
Fair enough. Okay.
Although, to be fair, some of those times I was having a few drinks, so that made me give less fucks.
You know, Twitch Sings is a thing, and I have thought about what kind of fundraiser we could do to get Loki to participate with Twitch Sings.
There's no fundraiser.
Well, we'll see. Maybe in the future I can talk him into it. We'll see.
That would probably involve a lot of money.
How, are you still playing stuff like Rock Band and all that stuff, or is that kind of in the past now since those games have kind of faded away? Or
it depends. There's only really one TV in the house these days, and I don't usually have access to it, so that cuts my Rock Band time down dramatically.
That's fair. All right, we'll check in on your other gaming week in a little bit here after we get past our kickoff topic. But one other thing I did kind of want to point out with the whole transition to video, because you've been to this show before when we were just like audio, you know, and all that. Isn't it weird now how we have to actually like pay attention to a camera, and like how we, when you were at the shows before, we'd just all be multitasking kind of off in our own world. And now it's like, oh, shoot, we can't get away with that illusion anymore now that the camera's on.
Although that is a bonus to me not being on camera.
That's true. You can multitask all you want. That's fine. All right. And hello to our chatters, of course, over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network, where, again, I'll say it one more time, we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, when the weather cooperates. But, hey, we stuck through it, and we made it through round two. Knock on wood. I think that weather cell's finally passed, though. I'm not hearing
Yeah, it's weird, though, because, like, I was looking at the map. It actually is going the opposite direction than normally it is. Normally, it comes from the coast and kind of goes towards the east.
Towards Reno, yeah.
Yeah, it's going the other way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so.
Oh, weird. Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully it doesn't come back. We'll see. Anyway, I did want to get into our kickoff topic tonight, which has to do with the day. So a lot of people, of course, are talking about it's Mario Day or Mar-10, March 10th. Not Mar-10 from Belgium, who emails us, although he should have a day as well. But this is March 10th or Mario when you write it out. And, of course, because we had the power failure, all the questions I had prepared just got taken away. So I'm going to have to do this off the cusp. But let's talk a little bit about Mario. And I open this up to chat as well. First off, the question you got to get asked when we talk about Mario, what's your favorite like Mario game? What's your favorite experience playing a Mario title?
My favorite Mario game is probably the first one, the first Super Mario Brothers.
The very first one, first Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, because that's kind of what I remember, like being introduced to like Nintendo is just playing the original Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Although, you know, when we talk about the original, technically, Mario was around before that, but I get it. Yeah,
the original Super Mario Brothers, not Mario Brothers.
Fair enough. Dark Soccer, what about you?
I'm going to probably say Super Mario World, just because I really, for me, it took something I loved and made it better with different challenges. And I remember being so excited by the commercials. And really, it was having that and A Link to the Past is what made me lean back towards Super Nintendo when my mom put the decision in front of me. What do we get? An NES or a Genesis? And I did bring up, can I get a TurboGrafx? And she said no. So just
because, of course, you did.
Of course I did. I actually ended up, though, playing so much Super Mario World that and Link to the Past that my poor brothers hardly touched the machine. It was mine.
I would actually say my favorite Mario memory was probably Super Mario 2, which I know is a weird one to pick because we all know that was not originally a Mario game. It was a different game in Japan.
It did get re-released in Japan. Oh, Super Mario USA.
Yes, and it's on their the NES Switch Online library. They actually got that game as Super Mario USA, so you can go play it if you have the Japanese client. But
Doki Doki Panic was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you know, and they made some quality of life things. And as a kid, come on, when I first played that game, I was probably like 11. So like, you didn't know this whole history. You know, we didn't have, back in my day, we didn't have the internet or any of that stuff. It was what we would read about in magazines. So they kind of were pretty good about keeping the secret that this was a completely different game in Japan that they had, you know, relabeled. So I didn't know any of that. So I do consider Super Mario 2 a Mario game, and especially because it's certainly part of the canon because we've seen Shy Guys show up in other games. I feel like kind of Mario 2 now exists in that same canon as like the Yoshi side games, which kind of ties into Super Mario World 2, kind of like a lot of that kind of comes from there. But it was the music, and I think it was how the graphics really looked like I was playing a cartoon. Y'all remember like the ending to Mario 2 the first time you saw it with Mario taking a nap, and it's like that kind of looked like a cartoon. You know, it was because the graphics were extremely simple, but it was really stunning at the time, I think, as a kid. I don't know. That was what I really remember about it. Misty, what about you? Do you have a favorite Mario title?
Actually, I don't have the game on me, but I'm thinking more along the lines of Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, because all the way back when I was like in 5th or 6th grade, there were a few people that somehow we got to take our Game Boys to school with us, and eventually it was originally some other kid's game, but I eventually ended up with it. I still have it to this day.
You know, it's funny because I bet some people would say that's a more obscure Mario pick, but like knowing you and like the way that you game, you play a lot of portable stuff. Because you're a big transit gal. You like to go on these trips to take the trains, to take the light rails, you know, and go on and rail and stuff, which I think is super cool because my dad was a railroad guy until he retired. So you're kind of doing the consumer side of that, I suppose. But you can play. I remember one time, the last time you were here, I think, we took the train up to Reno, and you were playing Pokemon Yellow on the way. And it was just kind of like, I can chill out, play my game, watch the scenery go by, you know, and do that. So it, like, totally doesn't surprise me to hear that, like, a portable Mario game ended up being your choice. So I like that. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Tiger Claw says, I remember the ending to Mario 2. Everything that happened was all just a dream. It never happened. Or did it? Dun, dun, dun.
Is that why we don't have Wart and Smash?
Wart for Smash. Come on. When are we going to get that? Anyway.
Or any of the characters from...
What would he do? Just barf vegetables at you?
Hell yeah.
No, he doesn't barf vegetables. He barfs... gut bubbles.
If we could turn Piranha Plant into a Smash character, we can turn anybody into a Smash character.
And Mario 2 had a great soundtrack, and I love that end boss theme when you're fighting Wart. That
you know what's funny about that game, though? This is awesome. Is just that the game was a big advert for a television station.
Well, originally, but again, 11-year-old.
But this is what came out of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's funny is because I really think Nintendo doesn't want that associated with Doki Doki anymore because that's not the game Japan got. And probably licensing and things like that, you know, play into it. You know, you're probably just never going to see Doki Doki Panic again unless ROMs emulation, of course.
Everdrive.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, the Everdrive will play the disc games with no problem. But Doki Doki Panic is like, I think that Mario 2 is a vast improvement over Doki Doki Panic.
And it is. It's like the quality of life improvements. You know, like
you don't
like,
have to beat it with every character.
Yeah, exactly.
You have the size thing. You have the ability to run. Mm-hmm. The ability to run makes that game.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it's annoying to play without it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, like, I think a gamer hipster would be like, "Well, Doki Doki Panic was." And it's like, no, it was not a better game. It was not. I mean, it was cool.
It was more challenging.
It was niche. Yeah, sure. It was more challenging. It's a fun like party trick. But at the end of the day, they made improvements, and that's what Mario 2 is.
The design gave us what we have now.
Going to chat for some of the other comments there several folks talking about one of the other memorable bosses in that game. Kaijudo says the bomb mouse should be in Smash.
Mouser.
That's right, Mouser. And I think actually somebody else has said that in chat. Yeah, Sia Tabiri said hashtag Mouser for Smash. So, yeah, Masterworks is really cool.
I would go for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Or at the very least, Mario Maker 2.
I'd love that.
They still need, like...
Not just the Bowser kids, but, like, the Mario bosses would be awesome. Well, okay, I didn't mean for this whole thing to become a Mario 2 discussion, but let me ask this question. I think this might be a tougher question. Why Mario as the mascot that stuck around all this time? You know, why is this, you know, oversized Italian plumber dude, you know, why is he the guy that stuck around this whole time?
Because before that, the mascots, I mean, there was really a mascot of, like, video games. Pac-Man, I guess? I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of...
Pac-Man branding was pretty crazy. There was a Pac-Man cartoon. There was a Pac-Man board game.
Hubert had a lot, too. Plush animals. You know, I had a plush Pac-Man when I was a little kid. I still have a plush ghost monster that I won out of a crane game.
Yeah, but nobody says Happy Pac-Man Day. I mean, I certainly think people look back on Pac-Man and remember it fondly. Pac-Man is a strong brand. Pac-Man got in Smash, which is, you know, cracks me up. But as far as Mario, why has Mario stood the test of time? I mean, the first Mario game, was when he was Jumpman in Donkey Kong. It was, what, 82? So we're talking, like, a long time ago.
But there was also a lot of Donkey Kong merchandise, too. I think what it is it came out with the generation that started with the NES, or at least had more memories of the NES, because it was marketed more. I mean, we started off, I'd say with our age, we truly started off with, like, say, the Atari 2600. That was our big thing. And so when we got crappy arcade games that were out at the same time, that's where our brains went to. But when we were teenagers, younger teenagers, and new kids coming up, and gaming really started taking off again. Hello, hand.
No, that's why I'm smiling, because at least, if nothing else,
Pikachu.
Your hand gestures get picked up by Twitch. But it's great. I love it.
I'm going to do something naughty to Pikachu.
Come on. Well,
not you.
Don't touch that. Darksagra, this is a family show.
Why is she fingering
Pikachu?
We are not a family show, Rob.
We have not been we are a dysfunctional family show, okay?
Anyway. No, please continue. Because
we put
you're making
the
a great
fun in dysfunction.
I agree with you. Generational. It's
okay.
A generational thing.
But
yes.
Apart from that, too, it really came around when Nintendo decided to make Super Mario Brothers a pack-in game. That is what did it. It was among the first of games to be a true pack-in, because I don't think that hardly any of the other games came, any earlier systems came in with a pack-in.
Combat
for the 2600.
But that wasn't a good game.
And it didn't, like,
have a mascot.
It didn't have a character. It was just...
Exactly.
Yeah, the two tanks blowing
you
each
know,
other up.
When I was going around playing on my ColecoVision, it was Donkey Kong was what I first thought of with my ColecoVision, or Venture. It was the little circle head with the arrow, you know, which was, by the way, the best home version of Venture, just saying. But we had an identifiable character who was in millions of homes that every kid knew that because every kid with the system had it.
Well, I'm only going to – but there's one tiny exception, technicality. The Rob the Robot system came with Duck Hunt and Gyromite. It did not have Mario.
Why I'm saying Mario was not originally a pack-in game. You bought it separately.
Oh, right.
And that was that one that went for all that money, too, remember?
That's true, yes. Just a couple weeks ago, yeah.
But it was when they saw that having a good pack-in game for the action series. And not everyone got the Rob series called? The Robot series.
The
fucking weird-ass series.
Well, and it didn't sell as well, period.
Yeah. There's my shoe. But the whole point of it was that we had an identifiable character sent in with all of the systems. It was who everybody's first association with the NES, the majority of people's first association with the NES was also with Mario.
I think you're spot on. I think there's, like, a generational thing to it. I think, like, you know, like, somewhere that bridge kind of between Gen X and Millennial, and really kind of like both generations, I think, a little bit, like, we grew up with Mario because just about 90% of the people, probably more than that, 95% of the people that had a Nintendo in their homes had Super Mario Brothers, because it was just that quintessential NES game that everybody had to play and had to have. You know, well,
and also don't forget, too, you know, it ended up setting a precedence for having a mascot game released with a system.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was interesting to see other systems try to copy that, because Sega didn't come out the gate with Sonic. Sonic was not a pack-in
game. Sega was using, trying to use Alex Kidd.
Alex Kidd, yeah. at first. But it's curious that Alex Kidd didn't stick. It's just interesting. They didn't use him the same way. Very good comment, I think, in our chat at Twitch TV VOG Network. Mirmuse in chat said, because Nintendo won't let us forget Mario. That's a very interesting perspective, too, is that it's not just that Mario might be the first. It's that Nintendo has kind of like never let go of him. Nintendo adopted Mario as the mascot in many ways. And got, like, just about every pack-in has involved Mario, or every quintessential game has involved Mario up until a little more recently. I mean, the GameCube obviously was kind of an anomaly because Super Mario Sunshine didn't come out till later.
Wii Sports.
I guess it's true. Now I'm thinking about it. You know, you had Mario 64, you had Super Mario World, but
Nintendo Land.
Yeah,
for Wii U.
And Wii U, and didn't really do the Mario thing. But maybe by that time, it wasn't needed. Mario was something that you looked forward to. You knew there would be a Mario game.
We have to have our packing game that's really just tech demos that we're packaging as a game.
Well, not to get too far off topic, though, but that was so important as to why the Wii sold as well as it did.
Yes.
People didn't buy, and I've said this before on the show, people didn't buy the Wii for the Wii. People bought the Wii for Wii Tennis and Wii Sports, but really it was Wii Tennis. That was the thing that sold millions of those systems.
Who'd have thought tennis would sell twice, or, you know?
Well, and in a way, I mean, to bring it back to the topic,
it's all Pong again.
For March 10th, Super Mario Brothers was the game that really sold the NES to many people. People didn't buy the NES for Hogan's Alley, as great as that game was.
Are you trying to tell me that people didn't purchase a Switch for 1-2 Switch? Are you saying that that is a complete oversight of Nintendo?
Thinking the Zelda game was a little stronger and people...
But it had Switch in the title.
I know. Okay, more comments in chat. VG Realness says, I think the big reason why Mario is still around is because Nintendo keeps making Mario relevant and interesting, changing how his games are played. Mega Man could still be around, but Capcom gave up. Sonic is lost because Sega doesn't know what to do with him.
Oh, they know what to do with him.
I think
they turn him into a movie.
Well, we'll get to that later in the show. But I think with Sonic, I think Sonic is a strong brand. I don't think Sega has really made a mistake with Sonic. I think the only thing that maybe Sega has maybe miscalculated a little bit with Sonic is that Sonic should be in everything. But then again, before y'all jump in there, Mario plays tennis. Mario has an RPG. Mario is missing. You know, Mario's well, been
Sonic's
in
Smash too. Now, so
I guess.
So he's made it, right?
Sia Tiberi in chat says, I think that Mario is partially all about that brand and that basic idea that is universal. It is the stamp of approval as well. Mario is on this. It's going to be a decent game. Let me ask one more question here, and then we'll move on with the rest of our show, especially since we're getting a late start tonight because of the freak weather and take two. But with Mario and all that, and branding and everything else, and talking about maybe Microsoft for a minute. You know, when we look at the Xbox, Microsoft doesn't have Mario. Microsoft doesn't have anything like Mario. I mean, Master Chief? I guess we could debate this a little bit.
It's Chiefio.
Microsoft
Master Chef over Master Chief.
Microsoft doesn't have a Mario. Would they be in a better place if they did? And I open that up to our chatters as well.
Yes. But does Sony have a Mario?
No. And I suppose that
they
could
tried
be
with Sackboy, and then that didn't really go anywhere. And they tried with Ratchet and Clank. That didn't really go anywhere.
Microsoft just has their name.
True.
And they have their computing background of shitty computers.
They have Clippy. So have Clippy. I guess that's, you know.
If they would just do a Clippy game, it would be over.
Yes, it would be over.
You joke,
because
I actually think that would be kind of fun. Like, if somebody were to make, like, a Clippy game, like an official Microsoft Clippy game. And look, I'm not trying to shade Microsoft or say they make bad
games
or anything like that. I'm not. Will you stop? But I'm just trying to say that, you know, they don't have that strong brand sense that Nintendo has with Mario, or that even that Sega has with Sonic. But I suppose you're right. Sony doesn't really have one either, but I will say what Sony has. Sony definitely has, you think Uncharted, you think God of War, you think Last of Us. They have some strong franchises. Microsoft has a few of those too, for sure. Halo, Forza, all those things are very important, certainly. But, you know, they don't really have that face. I don't know.
I've just took a moment to check out the App Store on my computer here.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at Civ 6, Divinity Original Sin, I'm looking at a bunch of games that, you know, we wouldn't have had over here an age ago. I think there's a lot more development going on. I have Lego The Incredibles. I have a bunch of really good stuff on here. You know, Borderlands came out. Total War Warhammer.
Mm-hmm. Tiger Claw asks, what's Activision's mascot? Greed.
DLC packs. SS2100 Matt says, Crash Bandicoot and Spyro were Sony's mascot early on. Only difference is that Sony's mascots aren't as iconic as Mario and Sonic. Lots of people in chat loving the Clippy thing. Bobby in chat says, Microsoft originally wanted Blinks to be their Mario. So anyway.
It had potential. And I guess, as Kaijudo mentions, the little robots now are kind of Sony's mascot. Yeah, but they have the VR game that's supposed to be pretty good, but they don't really have anything else that's outside of that. But yeah, the robots are cool.
I think at the end of the day, I think part of why people love Mario so much, I think it does definitely tie into something that you were hitting there on, Jamie, early on, is it's that thing the generation grew up with. It's that thing people remember playing first off and the first thing that they ever kind of, you know, played. I think that's a big reason why. And then Nintendo kind of kept reinforcing Mario, which is very important too. Like, you know, and in new and different ways. You know, Mario Odyssey is a very different game than the original Super Mario Brothers. And I think that's very important too. I think with that earlier chat comment that Mega Man was kind of the same thing over and over. And they kind of tried to do new things with Mega Man. But like when it didn't sell millions and millions, they just gave up. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I think Mega Man, as much as a lot of people remember Mega Man fondly, it didn't end up being as strong of a brand until maybe, you know, the recent resurgence with Smash and Mega Man 11 and all that stuff. So I definitely think the whole, like, thing that when we were kids has a lot to do with it. You know, huge movie at the box office this weekend, Captain Marvel. I haven't seen it yet. That's no shade. I just hardly ever get to the movies. But I understand that a lot of 90s nostalgia in Captain Marvel, apparently. And this is the type of thing that people think is really awesome. Is like, see, I saw Bobby nitpicking some Blockbuster scene or something because he worked.
That was in the trailer, yeah.
Oh, it was in the trailer, whatever. But anyway, like just people, and not in a bad. I'm just saying that people, the music. I saw somebody else on my friends list was like, oh man, I put together this playlist with all this awesome 90s music that was in Captain Marvel and stuff. I think there's a soft spot a lot of people have for nostalgia, and like whereas when we were kids, video games was something that adults didn't always understand. We are the adults now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm reminded of that scene in The Craft when they get off the bus and she says, we are the crazy people. Anyway, let's see. Going into chat from some other comments here. SSG100 Matt points out the ferret was OLR's mascot.
I have the ferret at home.
Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, Rob, I love how much you love cats and you will love Captain Marvel. I'm sure I will. Maybe I'll get to see it eventually. I so rarely get
to see
it.
I'm going to go probably see it after work tomorrow.
I'm kind of surprised you hadn't seen it yet.
Because I've been dealing with things.
Well, fair enough. But yeah. I know you're a big Captain Marvel fan, so I'm sure you're excited to see.
Although my brain still sometimes, you know, wants to call her Ms. Marvel because back she was Ms. Marvel before the new one. And so I still see like, They even made a nod in one of the recent Jessica Jones graphic novels. They made a nod to Ms. Marvel's old costume, the bathing suit, by putting Jessica in it when someone captured her.
Ah.
It was pretty funny.
Okay.
But yeah, no. That's all. I was a Carol Danvers fan back when she was binary and hanging out with the X-Men in space. So I'm super, super excited. I just need time.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah. And not too many crowds at work.
Well, I don't want to get too far off base here with movie talk. Let's get into more gaming talk by talking about our gaming weeks and how was your gaming week. And Dark Sakura, we can finally come back to you to start it off. How was your gaming week?
I have to get my pictures because I take pictures of everything I played.
Okay.
Because Tuesday, Dan's mom canceled out on us so she could have soup. So we went to the launch party for the Munsters pinball, which is pretty freaking sweet. This was at CoinOp. So what I played that day is I did start off with the Munsters. I played Deadpool Pinball. I played a lot of Deadpool Pinball. I played Tron. I played Dig Dug. I played, oh, that's more beer. I played Ghostbusters, which I own one now. We just got a Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's right.
I played Street Fighter 2 on a broken 1P controller. I played Tetris in the arcade. See, I took pictures of everything that's Tetris. Galaga. I play Galaga really well when I'm drunk.
So you were having kind of a
Donkey Kong,
old school games and pinball night.
I played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I played more Deadpool. I took a lot of pictures of Deadpool. and then I've also, we did some more Resident Evil 2. I'm borrowing Horizon right now for PS4. So I'll be starting that soon. We also were talking about nabbing Kingdom Hearts 3, but we've still got so much else in the backlog right now. Just that, a lot of pinball and a lot of classic gaming. And Dan and I are trying to work out the logistics of if we're going to hook up one of the classic systems to the current TV because of the input lag from the old systems, or if we're going to hook up the old systems on the CRT and play in our very stuffed office right now. We're thinking about doing like a he plays, she plays.
Oh.
You know, I'm still going to do cheat to win. I just have to figure out, you know, how to get everything set up the way I want to in the office, because I actually have to have somewhere to sit in the office to play. And right now the TV is way too low from where my chair is. So we'll see.
All right.
But I've decided that when I do that, I'm going to play Eddie Guerrero's entrance music, because that was his whole thing, cheat to win. Rest in peace, right. Eddie Guerrero.
Yep.
So there you go.
All right. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton of stuff this week. I've been trying to get back in the whole swing of like actually doing programming and stuff. So that's what I've been mainly doing this week. I did play some stuff yesterday because we went over to John's Incredible Pizza. And so I ended up playing, because mainly I had to drag my kids around and they played stuff. But I got to play Dance Dance Revolution Supernova, so I did play that a little bit. And that was fun. But they didn't have all the songs unlocked, and that made me sad because there's stuff I wanted to play. And there's like, a stupid barber is missing. Like, I know it was on there because it was in the credits where it shows all the songs. I'm like, I see it. It's not here, though. And unless there's like some hidden like all songs options. But I was selecting it under like, you know, expert difficulty or whatever, because you can select your difficulty in the very beginning before you select your songs, and it wasn't on there at all. So unless it's just some stupid sorting hidden option crap where I had to find some hidden all music mode or some bullshit, it just wasn't unlocked, which is weird.
Hmm.
But yeah, I played that.
All right,
and that's it.
All right, no other at a place like that. I haven't been to the John's Pizza or whatever in years, but is it anything besides, like, do they have actual arcade games?
They got tons of arcade games, actually.
Good.
They have quite a few arcade games. There's a bunch of big stand-up things. They have one of these like tiny rooms where you get to dodge like lasers. You have to crawl through the laser maze type thing. That's kind of cool. My kids wouldn't do it, though. They didn't understand what was going on.
It's Entrapment. Haven't you ever seen Entrapment?
Yes.
You gotta show the kids Entrapment.
I don't want to show them Entrapment. But no, so they had that. They've got, like, they actually had another music game there. I don't remember. It was some percussion thing that they had there. Then all your big, like, kind of shooter, like, cockpit games. So they had the Jurassic Park one. They had some Transformers game, some Pirates one. My kids love the Jurassic Park one. That's, like, my youngest son's favorite game. We play it every place that has it. And then, of course, John's Incredible Pizza, for those who aren't not aware, because I don't know if they're a nationwide chain, but they have carnival rides inside of there as well. So it's arcade games, and then they have, like, inside this one, they've got a giant thing called the Twister. So it's a giant carnival ride. They have bumper cars, a bowling alley.
Yeah, these places are huge. Like, this one is the former Sam's Club or something, right? It's
I don't know what it used to be, but yeah. It's something, but like I remember their pizza not being very good, but it was actually pretty good. Although they do have some pretty exotic like pizza flavors. Like they had one, it was a spicy peanut butter pizza. So it's basically all the components of a pepperoni pizza, but with peanut butter sauce. It's tasted like peanut butter when I bit into it. But they have like other stuff too that's not so weird.
Okay, Loki's food review. Let's go.
All right, so that's it.
All right,
so
Misty, what have you been playing these days?
First, that pizza sounds like I'll definitely take a pass on it, but especially considering the past week, mostly DDR. I went to Dave & Buster's in L.A., I went to the one in Daly City, both, of course, to play Ace. tomorrow I better wake up early enough to add Roseville to that list.
Nice. And you can tell us how terrible the Dave & Buster's in Roseville is, because it's so small and they don't have like anything there. It's unfortunate.
They have Ace.
What's your favorite Ace song to play? Sorry, we're actually doing Entrapment in the studio right now as Dark Soccer crawls around a microphone cord. Sorry, what's your favorite Ace song to play?
As usual, I can't really pick one, but some of my favorites are Shut Up and Dance, Obero. There's one I found recently, because on my phone turn music player, I do have a lot of DDR stuff. One that caught my attention recently was Somehow You Found Me, and it is on Ace Machines, so okay. I can play it.
Awesome. Going into our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Dark Tetsuya giving a tip for Loki OLR. If you keep scrolling down, all songs is at the very bottom. Supernova Arcade is weird. So you just have
the very bottom of what? Like the difficulties? Like I kept pushing down. And that was, I guess, okay.
I don't remember last
That's
time I played
dumb.
Supernova Machine.
That's, okay, if I put it on Expert, it should have all those songs because I'm playing at Expert level. They shouldn't have another, oh, sorry, this is for the people that want to play it. I don't know. Whatever. Yes, it's weird. It's a very weird machine.
All right. Anyway, if Misty's all done with her gaming week, I will talk a little bit about mine. So for my gaming week, so I was on a trip this week. I went to Las Vegas, so I didn't get to play a lot of games because I was on my way to Las Vegas because I got tickets for my birthday to see the Gwen Stefani Resident show, which I know this isn't a concert review show, but I will say it was very good. That's the first time I've ever seen a residency show, and part of what made that show really good, I mean, not just the fact that Gwen's a good performer, she's got a lot of great energy, and, you know, she has a rich catalog because, of course, she did all the No Doubt stuff too, but just the fact that, like, the stage and the costumes and everything can be tailored because you're doing the same show over and over again. You're not having to pack it up and take it somewhere else. So the stage stuff ends up being very elaborate, and it's really cool. Like some of like just the custom way they would shoot stuff for some of her performances were just amazing. So, yeah, I had a great time at the show. So if you're in the Vegas area, I would recommend it. Or honestly, now I'm like, I want to go see more residency shows. Like I can't fucking believe I missed Britney in this because Gwen's playing at the theater.
Janet.
Britney used to do that. I would love to see Janet, but you know who else is going to be there? Christina.
I'd rather see Janet.
I would love Janet too. Honestly, like the
as long as she's not caping for a brother.
Well, that's complex. Yes. but anyway, so I had a good time in Vegas. However, there is one very important thing I did get to do in Las Vegas. Finally, I've only been there like four or five times, and I finally went to, and I actually have some B-roll for those of you on Twitch. I went to the Pinball Hall of Fame in Las Vegas. So I had a very similar week to Dark Soccer where I played some pinball and some classic games. So for those that are listening on the podcast feed, we're looking at some of the shots of the Pinball Hall of Fame, and you can see this is just it's a place that's just full of various pinball machines. It's kind of like going to California Extreme.
I went to their old location before they moved.
Oh, did you? I didn't even know I didn't know they had a second location. But they have a lot of like old classic games as well, and those that are watching on Twitch can see some classic games that are on display as well. I thought this figure ice skating game, this Ice Review, is really cute. See, they have the classic tables, but they have that mixed in with some newer tables as well, including and stuff from the 80s. The minute I saw the Elvira Party Monsters machine, I had to play it. So I was like, ooh, Elvira, that was the first machine I played.
There's someone selling a Scared Stiff, by the way, for under a grand, I think.
I played this Addams Family that has the color replacement monitor, which I thought was really cool. Addams Family is like a classic.
The term you're looking for is a color DMD.
Thank you. And then they have classic arcade games as well. So it wasn't just pinball. They had classic arcade stuff as well, things like Tron and so forth. I figured some folks out there like Brad might appreciate the Doctor Who table, so I had to get a picture of that too, which also had the DRD color thing. DMD, sorry. This was weird too. So this was a machine you put in $4. This has to be from like the 50s or 60s, and it actually injects all this plastic and makes a mold right in front of you of Donald Duck that is actually made for you right there while you're watching. And you can actually pick it up there. Melody couldn't figure out where the door was, and then I had to, like, point at where it was. And this machine is so old, Donald Duck came out without an eye. But it was still pretty cool, like, to see. And it smelled like burnt plastic all in that area. So, yeah, it was kind of neat. I didn't even know that was a thing they had. And then I guess this machine, you've probably seen this before, the pinball circus, only one of two ever made because it's, like, multiple layers on this thing. Like, you have pinballs that go, like, up to a different track and pinball, all this other crazy stuff.
Pinball circus was one of those tables that was released when Bally and Midway were really trying to expand out of the standard pinball. That's actually the precursor to what became Pinball 2000.
Ah, okay.
Because Pinball 2000 was the one that incorporated video and that, and this was like right before that era of pinball.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't really get a chance to shoot everything that I played there, but I wanted to bring back some footage for you guys because I had a good time at the museum. It was kind of like going to a classic game festival, but just in the middle of Las Vegas. So I guess in some ways you can go to the Strip to see classic performers doing their residency show, and you can go off Strip to see classic arcade setups.
Well, one last thing about that. The original location, the one that I went to, was right across the street from the Liberace Museum.
Oh.
So... I didn't go to the Liberace Museum, though. I'm sad.
This was next door to a place that sold video games. And the guy that ran it was really nice. He was talking to Melody and I, and he actually let us kind of peek in his office because he had a bunch of collectibles that were in there as well. And he's trying to sell some games and stuff. He had some cabinets in that place as well. And the thing that cracked me up the most, though, was that there was something under construction right next to it because there was a giant tarp, and it had written on it, "I assure you we're open." Just like the movie Clerks, I was dying. So that made me happy. So, I had a good time. So that ended up being pretty much my gaming week because, obviously, unless we want to talk about slot machines, which I don't think we do. I mean, it's...
Technically, they're video games. Konami makes them.
I was going to say, if we want to talk about Konami, right? We could talk about slot machines because I played a lot of them. And I will say, I set a $200 gambling budget for my Vegas trip, because that's the rule. You got to set yourself a budget. And I will say, I stayed even. I only ended up 20 under, which for a $200 budget isn't bad. Yeah. So, and for the entertainment I got. So, anyway.
But still, based on the video, this does give me another excuse to go back to Vegas. Because granted, the way my flights worked out, I ended up connecting in Vegas. But, of course, I didn't leave McCarran because of that. But Vegas was where my original partner in Shenanigans, my grandpa, would drive us there, me and my grandma and him.
Because I was going to say, the Pinball Hall of Fame, it's not on the Strip by any means. It's a ways away, you know.
Still, this is a more valid excuse than go wander the Strip and have feels.
Yeah. But we were taking Lyft everywhere just because I will say this, because Bobby will get a kick out of this, he's listening. Thanks to all these years of Dragon Con and the Vogue suite and the reward points that come with that suite, this Vegas hotel was free.
Gotta work them points.
Exactly. Not gonna, but it's funny that like 1 year of Dragon Con can pay for two nights of Vegas and reward points. So thank you, Bobby. You helped with that. So But I brought back some B-roll for Vogue, so at least I could say it was a working trip.
But also, going back to the Uber and Lyft thing,
yeah,
I don't blame you for doing that. You didn't have me to help you get around.
That's true. No, we didn't. Yeah, we're just, you know, especially after we've had a little, after mimosas at brunch, it's a little harder to navigate the transit system, that's for sure. All right, anyway, that's enough for our game movie. We need to get into some gaming news because we're getting a really late start tonight, unfortunately. So we may actually run through some of this news a little faster just because we have lost time because of the power outage at the beginning of the show. Yeah. So Bobby's like, where's my free nights in Vegas? Bobby, you pick the residency show and the days and we'll make it happen.
And depending on the show, I might crash this party too.
There you go.
And how is Hell's Kitchen?
Okay, yes. All right. So you don't just go to Vegas for the shows. You go for the food, which cannot be bought with reward points. And that's where a lot of the budget went. So we actually went to at Caesar's Palace. Gordon Ramsay has an official Hell's Kitchen restaurant. And so we actually ate there one night. And I had the beef Wellington because you have to get something that's like their specialty.
Yeah.
So you can get lobster risotto, which I don't really care for that. Yeah. But I got the beef Wellington. Oh, my God. That is one of the best meals I've had in my entire life. Like, really. Seriously. Like, and, you know, I paid for it. It was an expensive dinner, but it was worth it.
Beef
it was so
Wellington
worth it.
Is a bitch to prepare.
Yeah. And that's why
you
it's
have to make a puff pastry. Yep. You have to. Oh, God. I want to cook it, though.
That's why it's a classic.
I've made
dish
them before
the
and they're delicious.
Yeah. I also had these scallops, but they were like, of course, they were bacon infused somehow. But yeah,
because
it was
bacon.
Really good. Because why not? But I'll tell you this. One more foodie thing, and then we'll get into video game news. I promise. The thing that really blew my mind was that you could order like a smoked whiskey or smoked bourbon. A smoked bourbon. They actually bring it to you in a lantern case with smoke in it that when they open it, you could like smell this. Because the people at the table next to us got it. Mm-hmm. And like even the cocktails were so extra as fuck. I loved it.
There's actually a channel called Cocktail Chemistry. And this guy is amazing. He tells you how to infuse alcohol, smoke into alcohol using a whipped cream container.
Huh.
It's actually, well, not like a store-bought one, but like the one that, like the professional whipped cream mm-hmm. things, like they have at Starbucks.
Yeah.
But he talks about how to use those to infuse, quick infuse flavors into alcohols.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
I will say, a lot of people associate Vegas with gambling and shows, but you cannot forget about the food. Like, if you go to Vegas, you need to set the money aside and to do some nice, and I'm not talking about
Versace.
The face. And Versace. We did go to Versace, but I didn't buy anything, sadly. Okay.
I
hope I'm saying this name right in our chat. Jay's Unknown in our chat says, OMG, stop. I'm stuck here with cheese balls.
Don't feel bad.
Hey, cheese balls are rad too, okay?
I go for some cheese balls.
Don't feel bad. If I do pull Vegas out of my behind pretty soon, I'll be doing the buffets and dedicating my money to other shenanigans instead.
All right. Let's go on. We got to get into some gaming news. We got it. Let's get into some of the headlines for the week. Loki, why don't you start us off?
So EA, once again, is not going to be at E3. You may remember EA kind of does their own thing across the street. Well, the difference this year is they're also not going to have a conference, which good riddance, because I don't need to see any more of that goddamn FIFA nonsense that they waste all the time with having actual, like, you know, football players, they're talking about shit and just dragging it out. But instead, what they're going to do is kind of like the Nintendo Treehouse. They're going to be displaying gameplay through a very extended period of time over the course of a couple days. So that might end up working out better for them anyways.
Are you saying that another video game company has decided there just isn't much point to spending all this money to get a booth at E3 when they can just take their message through the power of the internet directly to the gamers?
Well, they've done it before, like it been across the street, but like, yeah, they're not going to do their press conference. They're just going to do the thing over the course of a few days, which is fine, because then I think that they could. I think that they also still like did that last year. They're just not going to do. I don't know. I don't really know what they have that's going to be really unique and new. I mean, they pretty much announce the same damn games every year. It's always Battlefield, FIFA, Madden, NHL, and NBA Live. There's your lineup. I mean, like, it's the same fucking games every year. So, okay. I mean.
So, Bobby, of course, is ribbing you a little bit in chat like he usually does.
Oh, and UFC. I'm sorry.
Saying, I don't need to see them talk about the most popular sports game in the world. Nobody cares. But you're kind of saying.
No. I'm not talking about the game. They can talk about the game all they want. I'm talking about when they take us. They're like, okay, here's our press conference. But hold on. Let's stop showing the game. Let's talk to this football player for a good fucking 15 minutes. That's what I'm having a problem with. They can show me the game and all the cool shit that they've done with it. But when they stop the whole event to have this one-on-one interview, because people that like, you know, football games are going to like this interview. Fuck that. You know what? If I want to watch your interview, you put that up on an own separate video on your own channel, and I can go watch that shit later on. You don't need to interrupt my fucking, you know, press conference for this shit. That's my problem.
Your press conference.
I'm watching it. It's my fucking press conference. Don't put it on the fucking internet if you don't want me to see it.
Oh, my God. The entitled gamer vibe is so strong right now. But I get it. Like, you know. I get that maybe they spend a lot of time on game. I think this is
it's
what it is.
It's the same with Sony. I gave Sony the same shit for their musical interludes. I didn't need that
fair.
Shit.
But I think it's that the thing for you, if I'm not mistaken, is that like, okay, of course we know a FIFA game is coming. Of course we know it's going to be better graphics, better soccer. Okay,
rosters.
Yes, all that stuff, right? It's going to be the definitive version because it's the version that didn't exist a year ago. We know all that. So you're kind of like, since this is a given game, do we really have to spend 15 minutes talking to a soccer legend that really has nothing to do with the game itself besides the fact maybe their name's on it?
Maybe that's, they're on the box, or who knows?
Yeah. I kind of see where you're going with that, though. So, anyway, SSG100 Matt says, hold up. FIFA had a really innovative story mode in a sports game. They spent time talking with players to make this story mode.
Okay, then show the story mode, not the interview. You had all that extra time instead of doing the interview to show the story mode, since it's so innovative and new that they focus so much on it. But instead, no, we had a goddamn interview instead.
All right, I've tried to needle him a little bit.
I have very low patience for wasting time. And I feel when you do like stuff that's wasting time, and this could be anything, is a lot of it is tied to having celebrities come up and wasting time with the celebrities that have nothing to do with the fucking game or very little to do with the fucking game, and musical interludes. And this can be anything from, you know, instrumental music. It could be like, here's Eminem to come out and do some rap shit for whatever, like Call of Duty game, or like, I don't even remember who it was. They had like a rap song that was in like the end of Black Ops or some shit, and they had like the guy come out and perform the song. I don't fucking care. That's in the goddamn credits. That's not, I mean, stop wasting time. You can, you know what?
Reclaiming my time.
Exactly.
That's Loki watching E3.
Because, like, seriously, like, even with Nintendo Direct, for example, where they have an allotted, like, say, 30 minutes or so that they're going to be showing off stuff, it's like, oh, well, we didn't have time to show this very large announcement because we were focused on this stuff. When you have EA, which maybe doesn't have as many of announcements to make, it seems like, okay, well, you spent all this time doing this, but you could also have been talking about, like, this other indie game that you're publishing, or this other thing, or this other thing. I just think time better spent.
I want to look at the other side of it for a minute here, because here's the other Twitter clickbait sensation thing. Is E3 dead?
No. Because they still have the public paying for it now, so it's just going to transform into some other thing. Is E3... as important as it used to be as far as getting the relationships with your vendors and the relationships with the press? No, it's not as important anymore.
Did one of you ladies have a thought? Is E3 dead? I thought I saw Dark Sarge was about to jump in there.
To be fair, I never really gave a shit about E3 to begin with.
Ooh, that's a strong statement. Why is that?
Well, considering I do know this show, I put more stock in your guys' opinions.
That's a very sweet thing to say, but are you saying, so let me try to translate what you're saying there, is that you realize that E3, and this is kind of like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you're saying is that you find a very diluted message at E3, a very, we're sticking to the script, a very like press release on a conference floor at E3, and you would rather hear what real people touching those games looks and sounds like.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. I kind of felt that's where you're going with it. Because, to be fair, that's where a lot of my frustrations with E3 ended up being as well, is that I felt like, what's the point of me going? Nobody goes off script here. No developer wants to talk about anything that's not a very...
We're not an influencer enough, well, to be all...
And even if they were, look at the influencers and the people that do all those interviews at E3. They don't go off message at all.
Actually, that's one of the things... No, no offense to the influencers that they had on their show, but I think sometimes influencers aren't necessarily... presenters of, you know, a large event. You know, it's kind of, they're not really used to that type of thing. Like, I'll be honest, if I was set to present an event like that, I would probably be all fucked up and nervous as well. So, I mean, I think that also, the feedback that they probably got from some of those press events wasn't exactly positive. And I think doing something a little bit more intimate where they have, you know, kind of the gameplay, basically the Nintendo Treehouse shit, I think is more effective because you got more attention on that stuff. You can spend more time talking about stuff. And hell, if you want to do your stupid 15-minute interview, by all means, you've got 2 days to do it. So why not?
All right. Let's move on. I would love to spend more time talking about it, but we're running low on time tonight. So let's move on and talk about a sequel of sorts to a very large game on the Nintendo Switch this last year. Octopath Traveler is getting a brand new segment to the story, shall we say. But here's the twist. It's coming out for mobile phones. That's right. It is an Android and iOS game. So Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent was announced this week, and it will have that same look and feel to it, because Octopath Traveler for the Switch was probably originally going to be a cell phone game anyway. So this is kind of back in the wheelhouse where it was probably coming from. But it is important to point out, this is not a port of Octopath Traveler. I don't think it's truly a sequel either. I think they're saying it's actually a bit of a prequel. Japanese mobile app stores should be getting this game at some point later in 2019. You can apply starting this week for access to an early demo No word on the international release, but I don't see how that won't happen considering how well the sales were here. There's not a lot on the plot, but apparently there will be a mode in this game where you can play all eight people at once. That's going to be pretty cool. So, yeah, curious to see how that plays out. I think it's supposed to be like a prequel or something that's like taking place in the same universe at the same time, mm-hmm. kind of like Final Fantasy 15 was started as a 13 versus or whatever, that whole type of thing. But yeah, so it's something else in that, I guess, realm. But also should be noted is that the official Twitter account for Octopath Traveler did mention this in a tweet. For those of you waiting for a new console game, we apologize, but we'll need more time for production. So in the meantime, we hope you'll enjoy this, which is the response to smartphone game. So if you want to read between the lines, maybe it's the whole, the smartphone game is 2019, Octopath Traveler 2, or whatever they call the sequel, will be a 2020 type of release. I guess that's kind of what I'm reading into it, is the whole, you know, this isn't the sequel, but it's something to hold you over until the sequel's ready.
I mean, don't you guys have phones?
No, not that same type of announcement. So anyway, all right, let's move on. Dar Sakura, you also have some pretty big news from this week, right?
I do, and people are already shitting one way or another about it, but Nintendo announced the Labo VR kit for Switch, which I'm like looking at it like that looks like Virtual Boy levels of pain right there. But it is a neat idea the way they're gonna do it. I'd really need to reserve my true judgment for actually seeing it. But looking at the box, having like a camera attachment is kind of neat. And all the educational, you know, things that could go into it. Of course, there's also like a bazooka blaster thing. And it looks like a elephant. I was like, words. I can't make words. Or you can look in a bird's ass. So that's pretty
funny. Bird proctologist, the game is going to be pretty amazing.
But it's going to go by Nintendo Labo VR kit. It has two versions, which is a full set for $80. That has the software goggles and 5 cardboard designs, and a smaller one that has the goggles and
gargoyles.
One of the designs. You can get the blaster rifle one. I mean, honestly, the camera one would be more interesting to me. But it's pretty neat. I mean, it could be bigger than it is, you know? But at the same time, I don't know if it's going to come off as well in execution as it sounds in theory.
I think it looks neat. I mean, they better call that gun, though, the Super Scope, because, I mean, it's a goddamn Super Scope.
Well, you know, and I think here's the thing. I think we just have to set our expectations appropriately for this VR. There is no strap. There is no head helmet thing. So this is meant to be something you're going to hold up, and especially for a child, you're going to hold this up short term. So
yeah.
Whatever experiences are going to be in this VR are going to be meant to be short term. And when Bobby was on tonight talking about this topic, I kind of compared it to the ViewMaster 3D. You remember those things from like the 70s and 80s? Maybe
yeah.
You don't, because you're too young. But you remember?
They still have ViewMaster.
That's right. ViewMaster still is a brand, huh?
Yeah.
It's actually a VR brand now.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me. But you know how that was a very, like, you look through the thing and you see, like, a picture, you move. Now, obviously, I'm not saying literally that, but I'm saying, like, okay, like, when you saw the 3DS, Nintendo might have these little 3D movies, these little 3D animations that you could see and experience for a short time, and then that was it. Like, you're not going to see, like, this does not mean Breath of the Wild VR thanks to Labo. That's not what's going
to happen. It'll be fun. They wouldn't make a game if it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be fun. I just think, I don't know. I wish it could do more, because, you know, the potential for like Nintendo games in a VR environment that were good, that would be really amazing. But this is not going to be that. It's just, I don't know.
Well, let me ask this question, because I would be super curious to know about this genuinely, because, you know, Dark Sakura, previously on the show, you've expressed when it comes to VR, there's a lot of, you know, hesitations and things that you don't like about the VR platform. But the way Nintendo's approaching this with the more short-term thing in mind, where it's maybe less, like, attached to you too, does this seem maybe a little more like, I could try this, I could dip my toe in this? Or are you still kind of like, no, okay, so no.
No, and, not interested.
Okay.
I mean,
I thought it was a fair question to ask.
It's a neat idea, but I'm not interested in it personally.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Whatevs.
Whatevs. All right. But for those of us that are, cool beans.
Enjoy your headaches.
All right. All right. Well, let's move on. Loki, what else do we have from this week?
Well, let's talk a little bit about PlayStation. So PlayStation had a brand new firmware update, 6.5, that brings Remote Play to iOS. So you can use your iPhones and iPads to be able to play as a second screen, kind of like you can on that console, the Vita, that no one ever talks about anymore.
To be fair, the Vita was our kickoff topic on last week's episode. I don't know if you recall.
I know, that's the joke.
Oh.
Okay. We pretend it's not... Whatever. Anyways, so you can actually do that. The only issue, though, right now is that they don't really have a way to pair like a PlayStation 4 controller to it. So you either have to use another brand Bluetooth controller that is compatible with it, or the on-screen controls. I haven't got a chance to actually try this because I don't have an iOS device that can actually do this. But, you know, it's a neat thing that I like how they are supporting more devices. I hope they support Android soon. That would be pretty cool. Although I don't really want to play on my phone, but it would be neat just to see more support for that type of stuff. And then this is kind of cool. So in Asia regions, previously, you know, for us in North America and other regions, we use, you know, the X button as our select button for mainly everything, whereas in Asian regions they use the circle button as their select button. Well, now we can have parity across all regions because you have the ability now to switch that for you know, X to be confirm and O to be back, so you can decide to do that if you want. That's pretty awesome.
Couldn't you do that before? With the accessibility options?
The accessibility options you can, but I think this is just strictly just to have the menu select options as something different. But yeah, you could with accessibility do that.
Sounds like same feature and new packaging type of thing. Maybe a little quicker to flip it around or something.
Yeah, or so you don't have to completely, like, maybe they have it set up for menus so that, like, in-game, it's not all backwards, because I've done that before. Where, okay. Like, my younger son, when he was playing games, he had trouble, like, with the controls, like how to drive a car in like Lego games. So I had to switch his acceleration from the triggers to the X button. And so that way he could use that easier for him because his hands are really small.
Okay.
So that's worked in the past. But then and we played another game later on. I'm like, why is this all back? Oh, that's right. I switched that. I completely forgot about that. Yeah. So it's nice to have that separate where it's just in menus.
Okay. That's fair. I get it now. Cool. All right. Well, I'll have to download, you know, since I'm an iPhone person, I'll have to download that and check that out. Although I feel like the only thing I'm going to really be able to do with that is like, I'm
nothing.
Not gonna play
you're really going to be able to do nothing with that.
Well,
I think.
Here's the thing. I would think like, oh, I could watch Twitch on my PS4. Wait, why would I do that? I have a Twitch app on my phone. Okay, I could watch Netflix. Wait, why would I do that? I have a Netflix app on my phone. So I'm kind of like, well, everything kind of feels redundant, I guess. Maybe if there's like a low intensity game that doesn't really use the controllers as much or something, maybe there's something to play there, but I think realistically.
Tetris
no.
Effect. No.
It depends how
bad
the delay
latency.
Is. I think the latency will probably be too bad to do it, but you know, I guess Tetris Effect would be something you could play, but anyway. All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about some updates for Sonic. So Sonic is going to be at South by Southwest. And if you can't be there, the live panel will be streamed. So there's going to be a panel on, what is it? It's the 16th of March. There's going to be some guests there on the panel that have to do with Sonic the Hedgehog. I do not believe this is about Sonic the movie necessarily, although there's a good chance maybe this is when the trailer finally hits, is this panel, right?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Because they actually have, they have like Takashi Iizuka and folks that are at this panel. So I think it's probably about the games, the journey of Sonic and everything, but not necessarily the movie until maybe the end. Will probably be like, and here's that worldwide debut trailer right here at South by Southwest. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm still holding that hope that it's not crap.
All right. Well, speaking of the trailer, many people are talking this week, and this is more of a visual, so I can't really get. I mean, yes, I could put the
should
picture
I have
up
the B-roll?
Twitch, but well,
where's that beautiful B-roll footage?
But remember, it is a podcast, so for the audio folks, I don't want to be like, look at this. But if you do go to Google and the different websites and take a look at, you know, this leaked Sonic picture or what have you, there's a pretty good idea of what Sonic looks like in the movies at this point. Or you go to our Discord, because Tiger Claw has been posting all the latest updates on the Sonic movie there in the
Discord. Or you imagine a Smurf that's taking crack.
Kinda.
And is running.
So anyway, some of the materials
are
out there.
It looks increasingly garbage.
Looks like branded materials. I don't know. You know what? I need to see the trailer. I'm going to reserve judgment until I see it in motion. It's a little bit like, this is a departure.
Like imagine
Sonic.
If we had just some of the stills from the Pokemon Detective Pikachu trailer, like some of like the more like Licktongue and shit like that, and then everyone would be like, "Oh my god, what the fuck have they done to this shit?" You know.
That's surprisingly a good point from you, Loki.
But I have a feeling that we're just going to see this shit in motion, and it's just going to be shit anyways. But
Jim Carrey's in it, so you'll see it.
I am going to see it no matter how garbage it is.
Okay. Jason 1 in our chat wants to know what's worse, Sonic or the Genie? Honestly, truly,
The Genie.
It doesn't look right. I don't have a problem with Will Smith as the Genie whatsoever. Nothing is ever going to be Robin Williams, and that's the first thing you got to accept. But the way they projected the face, it didn't look
right. It's like fucking Scorpion King bad. Like, I mean, it's pretty bad. Like, they should have just made the Genie. Just the Genie. Don't make it fucking Will Smith. Just make it a Genie that he's voicing the character of. Why do you have to make it look like goddamn Will Smith? They didn't make the Genie look like Robin Williams. I mean, I don't understand why they couldn't have just made it its unique character and he does the voice. What's the problem with that?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want to see it in motion until I really make a decision one way or the other. So... All right. Let's see. Let's move on, I think. That's all I want to say about Sonic for now, until we have a trailer. Let's talk about some not the classic game of the week, but some other classics. Right, Dark Sakura?
Yes. Well, SNK is going to be doing monthly collections of some of their classic arcade soundtracks. So if you want that old school Neo Geo ear-bleeding synthesizer, you can have it.
Boy, do I.
It will be, Volume 1 will be launching in Japan on April 24th for 3,200 yen, about $28 US. And it will have, each volume of the SNK Arcade Sound Digital Collection will be available to pre-order from City Connection's Clary store. I can put a link to that in the chat. But I'm trying to see what's going to be on the first series of them. Okay, Volume 1 will have Beast Busters, Chopper 1, Bermuda Triangle, and Prehistoric Island 1930, which, not super popular games, but...
I was going to say, those are some deep cuts. Like, where's Crystallis? And in the chat, Questbuster says Magician Lord. That's a good one,
right?
Too. Or
The Samurai Showdown
Fury.
Soundtracks.
Fatal Fury had some sweet background music.
Baseball Stars.
Yeah. So, all right, but I understand. SNK did have a very rich, especially in the arcade. There's a lot of games that came out, like in Japan, that maybe there was a couple of machines here.
I want a Last Blade soundtrack.
Yeah.
Something fierce.
I wonder if they will do, Capcom's all over Spotify now. So I wonder if, and I assume they're on the Apple platform. And
yeah,
and
I've got a bunch of
Pandora's and all, the comparable stuff. So I wonder if SNK will show up on all the comparable streaming services as well. It'd be interesting.
We shall see.
All right, moving on. A few more news stories for you guys, and then we'll get to the actual classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
So this has been teased for a while now that there's going to be this brand new Xbox that's going to be coming out at some point that's going to not have a disc drive. It's just going to be all digital. And that's according to yet another rumor that's supposed to be announced pretty soon, actually, that this brand new Xbox Maverick is going to be dubbed the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. And that it'll basically be without a disc drive and will be digital only. And I got to say, honestly, I don't know. Like, I would have been really against that a while back when the Xbox One launched. But nowadays, like, most of the games I buy are digital. So I wouldn't really see. But here's the problem with me. Like, see, like, this might be something. Oh, this could sell me an Xbox. However, it's not an Xbox One X, which is really the only type of box that I would want to get. Because if I'm going to buy all digital anyways, I'm buying them for my PC because all the Microsoft games are available on PC. So that's the only problem. It's like I really wish like they would have done like an Xbox One X all digital version, and then maybe I'd be on board that. But at this point, I'd probably just wait for the next console to come out.
My assumption is, and this is a big assumption, but this is a $99 system. Like, we're going to go that
low. If it's that deep, then it might be worth picking up.
Because I was going to say, well, isn't an Xbox One, not the X, but isn't a regular Xbox One like $199?
Think about this.
Point?
And this is this right here. This is going to be actually a really like stealth way to get in the houses. You do. Let's say I don't know if it's going to be a $99 system. It would be awesome if it was, but like $199 system, and then you throw in Game Pass in there, and there you go, ding ding ding. You got you know.
I think there's. I don't want to set the bar too high. I think we you know keep your expectations reasonable. But there's a very good chance Microsoft will do a $99 system with 3 months of that Game Pass. Just to get it in your fucking house. Microsoft wants to be in your house so bad that I think they could do it. And, you know, I think I'm with you, Loki. I think whereas 5 years ago we would have sat here and said this is a crazy fucking idea, I think so much is starting to go digital and more I think the industry's ready to try this. And especially if the price is right, which I think again
but I'm telling
is
you,
the only reason yeah. that can explain why we're not talking about an Xbox One.
But
X.
I'm telling
they're
you, like
the
I would
Xbox One because they're gonna go bargain basement with this.
I would want though, like an Xbox One X version of this because like I just don't want an S. I understand you keep discounting the S. I want the 4K system because I have a 4K TV. I don't want the 1080 system. If I want 1080, I'll play on my laptop because that's what my screen is.
It might be enough to get people like me back into it. Like my most recent Xbox system is a 60 gig hard drive and 360.
Can you imagine if Microsoft seizes this opportunity to go into E3 unopposed and say, well, actually, I guess it's supposed to be earlier than E3, huh? Because I'm writing the fanfic in my head right now where, you know, they're going to get up there on the stage and be like, we have a $99 system in store today and a partnership with Nintendo. Thwack. Like, that is
well, and they're saying that
the
pre-orders are going to open mid-April is the rumor right now.
So pre-orders in April for what? A June launch, maybe? Mm-hmm. Microsoft made this is the year where they're going to go for it, you know, to make up for what happened to them at E3 a few years ago. And if they can put a $99 system.
But when's
their
next system launching, though, is my question, though, is if you're going to do this, then you launch your next system.
But haven't they said since the beginning the new system will still or the old system will still play the new system's games? They've said that from the beginning. It'll just be that it might have a shitty frame rate and stuff, but it will play the new system's games.
Yeah, still, this could be very shut up and take my money.
Hmm. Well, they also have, if I remember correctly, they also supposedly have their Xbox Cloud thing that they're going to be, the cloud streaming service that they're supposed to be introducing as well. So maybe that's the way they're going to get these newer games on these older systems is basically running everything in the cloud, and it's going to, you know, kind of like how we do with Assassin's Creed Odyssey and, like, the Switch.
Okay, I'm being corrected in chat, to be fair, that the Xbox One is still $249. DJ Roma S predicts, without the optical drive and a 3-terabyte drive, I could see it going for $199. You are all making a point that the drive inside it could be something that, you know, maybe makes it not able to be $99 because there's going to have to be a pretty beefy hard drive in that thing. But maybe $149 is still a pretty sweet price to go for. But if they could do it again, you know, set your expectations at maybe like $199. But can you imagine if Microsoft could do it? If they could say we've figured out a way to get the cost down, we're going to put it out for $99. And if you want to expand the storage, you just plug in your own hard drive in the back here. Maybe that's how they do it. They say it's got a really crappy little hard drive in it, you know, but you can just plug in your own into the back and you're good to go.
Hard drives aren't that expensive nowadays.
No, that's true. That's true. We'll see. Anyway. Other comments in chat here. Dijarama S is convinced they can't do it for $99. We'll see.
Yeah, 99 is a bit. That's a bit of a stretch, but I would see like $200 they could do. I wish it was lower. I mean, obviously lower the better. I think, but
yeah,
whatever. You know, if they can, I don't know. It will be interesting to see what they do.
It sure will. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we're all going off kind of rumors right now, but we've kind of seen that this is where Microsoft wants to go. We kind of already saw this with the original Xbox One and some of their direction for
just
that.
Game Pass is such a good deal. I just wish it was on PC. I mean, I don't know.
Jason One says subsidized consoles, super low cost, all digital version. Microsoft is pulling a lot of moves to get you into their ecosystem. I would feel safe betting on this being their generation. You know what? There it is. I think Jason One just said it. That's how they say $99. $99 with 1 year agreement. How about that? How about that?
They could.
They could. And then they're still saying $99. You know, and that's going to be a big deal if they can do that. But that could be it. It'll be 99 with 1 year agreement. I know I'm so fixated on this 99 thing. I won't let it go. But it just sounds so good.
It is because it's undercutting everybody by a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the way to do it. Because if you're looking at like
late in the Wii's life, the Wii was going for 99 late in the cycle.
And you're looking at the Switch though. I mean, like think about it. You're talking about buying a Switch or an Xbox, and, you know, for your kids. And you're like, okay, well, you can have this. But then you get this full library of games that's included for like $10 a month.
Okay. Anyway, it's actually been an ongoing trend though with different developers. Like, remember the PlayStation, the very first models of PlayStation, how they would take stuff out and the price would go down. They'd take stuff out, the price would go down, until finally we had just the most bare bones of systems, and then we had the PS1.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, and I really do think that either 99 or 129. Are going to be the price points. Those tend to be averages. I don't know why they pick ending in 9 as a number instead of just something even.
It's like how they sell gas. It's just that whole that it sounds cheaper. 99 cents sounds cheaper than a dollar. Where do you go shopping? Dollar Tree or 99 cent store?
Dollar Tree. Unless I really want obscure Mexican
sodas. Ooh, she's different.
Unless I want obscure Mexican sodas.
Right.
Then I go to... Or the guava soda. Then I go to 99 cent because I got weird shit.
Look, I'm saying it so much that I'm setting an expectation there, and I don't want to do that. I want to give Microsoft a fair shot and see what they can pull. But I just feel like if they could just really undercut, and I mean, but you know, I've been having this fanfic. If you've been listening to OLR for any length of time, I have had a Microsoft fanfic for a long time that if anybody is going to do something big and crazy, I really feel like it's going to be Microsoft. How long have I been saying Microsoft's going to be the first one to come out and say, you know, we've been making you pay for gold for multiplayer all these years. Not anymore. Gold is free. And that they're going to shift their pay system to their things like Game Pass is going to be what carries them. They're not going to charge multiplayer.
Yeah. It would be amazing, but no.
But that has been fanfic. I've been saying on the show for 5 years and has yet to come true. So it's fine.
Rob,
anyway,
fanfics are meant to be a fantasy.
That's right.
You live yours.
That's right.
Valentina.
I will. I'm feeling my fantasy right now.
Ignore the reality, Valentina.
All right. Red M&Ms only. Let's move on and talk about a fantasy.
Opulence.
Let's talk about a fantasy a lot of people are feeling right now. Tetris 99, right? It's like, who knew that a battle royale game without guns would do so flipping well? But people are going crazy about Tetris 99. I'm actually really sad I didn't get to do this. So sadly, this event is over now, but I just want to talk about the fact that it happened. So I was in Vegas the whole time. I don't know if any of you guys checked it out. But from March 8th through March 10th, so actually, is it still going right now? Today's the 10th. So actually, technically, it's still going on for a few hours. So if you're listening live, you can get in it now. You can go into this Maximus Cup, and when you get first place, you get Tetris Maximus on the screen. The top 999 players with the most Tetris Maximuses will get 999 gold points.
Would that be Maximies or Maximi?
It says Maximus. I don't know. Anyway, but 999 gold points is basically $9.99. I mean... because you can't – you have like a max number of gold points you can apply towards a game. But if you're buying a brand new $60 game, you can take $10 off essentially. That's what this is doing.
Cool.
I know it's neat. Hey, I just think it's rad that Nintendo is getting into this kind of competition for like real shit. You know, even if it's like, okay, it's just gold point. Hey, you know what? I used gold points the last time I bought something digital.
It's a free game. Yeah. You're getting free stuff on top of the free game.
It's well.
Well, yeah, I know. You have to pay.
Asterisk. Little footnote. Yeah, you do have to be an online subscriber.
But technically, there's other games, though, that you have to pay for, and then you have to pay for the service. So it technically is a free game that you have to have the service for, but whatever. Have the console, too. I mean, so technically, it's ever free.
Dark Tetsuyo, I kind of hate you for this comment, but I don't. Isn't that kind of what 1 versus 100 did? Yeah. gave away something for nothing. Yeah. I missed that game. That's the Battle Royale game we deserve.
Game room.
Throwback. I know. I know. Oh, y'all are making me cry here. Can you imagine if Microsoft came out and said $99?
And we're bringing Game Room back. And 1 vs. 100. And Ridge Racer.
We're big fans of Orange Lounge Radio here at Microsoft. We're going to give those fools everything they
give
want.
Give them all of the things. We even know who you are.
We're granting wishes.
All we right. remember you. You had an icon on our service. You're not nobody's to us.
Yay, somebody cares. All right, let's take a trip down memory lane to some classics that we certainly care about. It's the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Soccer goes into the gaming vault and finds a game 10 years or older that she thinks, hey, you brats, you should be playing this game. Put down your Fortnites,
yeah,
your Fuck Night, and your Tetris
69. Now, they haven't made that game yet.
And your Foreskins.
And pick this up instead.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't think for this week's particular choice, I think you didn't have to go into the vault. You just reached in your pocket, right?
I did.
All right. What is the classic game of the week?
Nobi Nobi Boy. Remember how we were all kind of minorly obsessed with this weird shit?
Well, you, but yes.
Well, someone right. else in this room was playing it on the console.
I didn't play it as much as you
did. Nobi Nobi Noi. Nobi Nobi Noi. Nobi Nobi Boy for Smash.
Right? At any rate, it's a weird fucking game.
Can I just say first, this is 10 years old, because yeah. I very vividly remember chats about this game on OLR, because Katamari Damacy guy made a new game.
He also is working on another game coming out right now, but it's due later this year.
Chat is having the same reaction right now. This is over 10 years old. Fuck. Damn. I'm old. Those were all different comments, by the way. Fuck. Damn. I'm old.
I don't know. I made all those and one in my head. Anyway, so the game Nobi Nobi Boy, it's a weird one. It's by Takahashi Keita. It was published by Namco Bandai, and it came out in Japan on February 19th, 2009. That's for PS3. The iOS version came out February 18th, 2010, which is the one I played the most of. But in the game, you play a character named Boy, who can stretch his body. One of the meanings of Nobi is stretch. Nobi Nobi also means carefree, so it's kind of a pun, you know, which many, many neat games are named after a pun. So anyway, he's kind of a worm character who has four legs. And you use the controller, the left analog stick is the front of Boy, and the right analog stick is the back of Boy. And so you move them in opposite directions to try to get Boy's body to stretch. And then you maneuver Boy around his environment, and he can eat stuff. And there's also, like, barnyard animals and shit hanging around, and people and weird things. Is that a person riding on a bear? Anyway, it's a guy riding a unicycle with chicken on his head. Anyway, you accumulate points by how much you stretch in the game. And you transmit these points online via a character called Sun to another character called Girl. And so basically all the cumulative, this is everybody playing the game. All these points that Boy, played by everybody, transmits to Girl causes Girl to stretch and get new levels. And so, you know, you start on Earth and then Girl will stretch to the Moon and Mars and Jupiter, etc. until she strings back around to Earth. And you get other environments that way too.
Maybe someday we'll get a sequel and she'll simply be known as Girl.
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 Girl, where you been? That's it. It's like she expanded out into outer space this time. Anyway, so they expected it to take between 1 to 2 weeks to reach the moon. It took 4 days. So... as of December, from the week of December 25th to December 31st, 2011, they reached Uranus, or Uranus. Anus. So basically, it took Girl, a full loop around the solar system.
Girl, she's loopy.
She got around, okay?
Girl, she gets around.
And so
she's been around Uranus.
She got back to Earth on December 14th, 2015. So that's a good solid 6 years of play. A little bit longer, maybe. And then after 2,489 days of playing, girl reached the sun and everyone died. No, but that's actually the end of the game.
That girl's on fire.
Girl.
That girl is on fire.
Step that pussy up on fire. Anyway. There were also...
Look, you pick a weird game like Nobi Nobi Boy, you get a weird segment.
Can't you eat your own ass in this game? Like,
That makes Nobi Nobi Boy the Ouroboros. Anyway.
S to S.
Anyway. There were lucky weeks that went on where a random number was chosen. And every time the player reported their length, but not their girth, it was multiplied by that number. So the first one was May 11th to May 22nd on 2009. And then there were different ones. And so, and basically, Keita would write, about lucky week, thanks to everyone's effort, girl has managed to stretch out a lot. Still a long way to go in reaching Mars, but we will see you in June for the time being. So it kept going like that. There was one multiplier that increased to 2,000,015. And that finished girl. That was the one that finished Girl's Journey. So it is a weird game. And basically, the announcement of the game started by Takahashi holding out a stretch hose with two pink balls on the end. Remember that, though. We saw that. Mm-hmm. Instead, it wasn't a controller, but a visual to help display the game. And then they showed Boy. The playable prototype was at Game City 2007 International Interactive Entertainment Festival. Fuck, that's long. Where it was delivered as the festival's vision statement of the year. And it had three boys that were interacting with the animals and doing stuff and whip and entangle their boys.
Girl.
Innuendo. So it was originally developed on an Xbox 360 development kit, but was ported to PlayStation 3. And that was because Takahashi stated that the symmetrical design of the analog sticks on the PS3 offered better control. And then it had, on April 29th, 2009, it was updated to include an offline player mode for up to four players where all the boys could play and stretch their things and, you know, play with each other's boys. But it got pretty good ratings. Metacritic was 75 out of 100. And IGN stated that the game was unique. It could have been played on a PS1. And as of May 2009, it sold about 100,000 units. But Takahashi himself said he was not completely satisfied with the game.
What? Girl.
There also is a website at o-o.jp, which I guess is supposed to be Boy's Body. So you can play with Boy's Body online. You can stretch him out.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you for that memorable classic game of the week segment.
I'm running out of innuendo.
Your classic game of the week, Nobi Nobi Boy, which I remember being a mobile phone thing.
I played it mostly on the phone.
You played mostly on the phone. You would talk about it every week on the show. We'd be like, how was your gaming week? Well, I played Nobi Nobi Boy.
Girl's gone around Pluto.
Yeah. So, good pick. I can't believe that game is over 10 years old. It's crazy.
Yeah. So. I mean... It just is such a crazy little freaky game. But technically, they reached endgame. So, good job, girl. Good job, boy.
All right. Nobi Nobi Boy is your classic game of
the
week.
Honestly, girl's got goals. She's going places. And you know what? The boy is the support character. It's really the girl's story.
I see.
Where's she going?
All right. For our next story, we're going to go to this pre-recorded segment from earlier today. Okay, hello from a streaming studio, and this is pretty cool. We're taking a look tonight at Diablo, not Diablo 3, or unfortunately not a new Diablo, but the old school Diablo. This is actually Diablo 1 in all its glorious, you're kind of limited to moving in eight directions, the graphics are a little bit subpar glory, but you know, this game is well over 20 years old at this point. And the reason why it's in the news this week is because it just recently was released on GOG, or Good Old Games. Not through Battle.net, Activision Blizzard's own client, but actually released with a partnership with GOG, or, you know, I still call them Good Old Games, even though I think everybody is supposed to be calling them GOG.com at this point.
But anyway, it's just the way I remember it, with the giant subtitles when you talk to people and everything. Let me see if I can make my way over to the church. I'm playing a sorcerer here, which of course I named Mr. Smush after my cat. I think the church is up here in the corner. It's interesting because you don't even have a map in the town. When you go back and play an old game like this, you really realize the types of quality of life improvements that you got. Oh yeah, something's going on here. This isn't good. They got a wounded guy there.
Listen to me, the Archbishop Lazarus.
Yeah. We gotta go kill things. Come on. So let's see if I can get down here into the dungeon. Oh my gosh, I have problems just moving around.
The sanctity of this place has been fouled.
There's a chest. This is what Diablo used to be before the game that probably more people know about now. Here we go. Killing some of the skeletons here. Anyway, I guess there's some type of partnership now between Blizzard and good old games. In fact, there was a press release that came out where the vice president and executive producer over at Blizzard, Rob Breidenbecker, said that they were bummed that these games weren't available for their players. So they've kind of worked out a partnership to make them possible. You actually have to click to collect the gold in the old Diablo games. So you notice I'm just kind of killing some mobs here using my staff. Although I think, if I remember right, it wasn't left... Oh no, you can right click. Okay, I thought you always had to push S to actually cast the spell. But that'll do that. I can set these other guys on fire. But anyway, the game is going to run you $9.99 if you decide to pick it up on good old games. No word yet on like when other old Blizzard games may come out, if any. I think they have talked about Warcraft Orcs and Humans and Warcraft 2 also coming to the service. So that would be kind of neat if that happened. I would imagine Warcraft 3 probably not going to happen anytime soon because they have that remaster coming out. How do I get in this room? There we go. Boy, these guys are like taking away my health. There we go. Maybe a new item here. When you see the original Diablo like this, you see just how different this is versus when they did that event in Diablo 3 that just kind of put like an old school skin on Diablo 3, and it just plays Diablo 3. But this is definitely the old school experience. And I died. I forgot how weak this guy is. So that's it, because you're in hardcore mode when you play in the original Diablo. So now I have to, let's see, I guess that's it. I got to start a new game. All right. Well, maybe I can go back to the hero I was on. I got to cast more of my spells or I'm going to die more often, I guess. Yikes, that wasn't good. Does that make me not a real gamer since I died in the dungeon? Is that like dying in the tutorial level in Cuphead? I don't know. I guess I'm just too used to all the conveniences that come with Diablo 3, including a little bit of an easier difficulty. And the fact that, if you play a wizard, you probably shouldn't be up there in the fray. I really should be standing back and casting spells. I also kind of wonder if my loot is going to be where I died there previously. If I can, it rearranged.
This place has been fouled.
Those good old random dungeons. Ooh, let's see. I gotta actually pick my spell again. There we go. Yeah, this time. There we go. Now I can kill these guys from a distance. And it's going to work a little better. So when you first launch the game in the GOG launcher or whatever it's called, you actually get a little pop-up window that allows you to pick between two different versions of Diablo. You can get the original with the old school graphics, like what was it, like 320 pixel resolution? Like it's really old and scaled back. But I believe that's the version that will actually still work with Battle.net if you want to be able to play with friends and all that stuff. Or you can do the souped up version of the game. Uh-oh, I ran out of mana. You can do the souped up version of the game, which is what I'm playing now, that allows you to play up to like 4K resolution, which is kind of, they didn't go back and, oh god, I called out too many mobs, I'm gonna get killed again. Trying to talk and concentrate on the game, it's very difficult. Anyway, there we go, now I'm frying some of these guys from a distance.
Not enough mana.
But you can still do LAN mode, even with the,
not
souped up graphics. Oh, I'm out of mana. I'm going to have to get it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Wow. Look at that. I died twice. I'm really good at this old school Diablo. Well, there you have it. A look at the original Diablo. If you want to go back to, like, you know, when Diablo was probably like Dark Souls hard, or at least maybe I shouldn't be trying to play a wizard if I want to get up there and close in combat. Maybe I need to partner up with somebody through LAN mode, actually play with somebody else to help getting through the dungeon a little bit easier. But if you want to go back and play this game when it's you know, a little more difficult, you can do that now thanks to the partnership between Blizzard and Good Old Games. And again, it's going to cost $9.99, and Warcraft and Warcraft 2 likely on the way soon, except we don't know when. So look forward to me being really bad at those games, too, in the very near future. Anyway, for now, back to the studio.
All right. So, yeah, I almost didn't want to air that because of how bad I did playing Diablo. But you know what's funny? That wasn't even the first take. That was because the very first I was like, oh, I'm just going to jump into it blind, you know, because you can just kind of pick up Diablo 3 and go. So I'm just going to jump into this Diablo 1 blind and see what I can remember. Are you bringing Mr. Smush on for a cameo? Oh, the Twitch people are going to love that. Although, I don't know if Smush likes being held that long. Aw. He's probably just all curious there. Anyway, he's ready to take a break. Uh-oh. You might want to make sure he gets down okay. I don't think he's going to like trying to get up from there. Yeah. Anyway. No, Mr. Smush, don't knock over the camera, please. Thank you for the distraction, Dark Saga. That's all right. It was a worthwhile one. I'm sure somebody's clipping that as we speak. Anyway, as far as the Diablo goes, I couldn't remember where the church was. And there's no, like, map or anything. I was like, do I have to pick up a quest? Like, what do I have to do? Like, it took a minute for me to get oriented for what I'm supposed to do. I couldn't, like, just jump in and play. So it does kind of say something about, like, oh, yeah, like, it's not necessarily that games got easier. I mean, they did a little bit. But also, I think to some extent, just like the quality and the I don't know if the accessibility is the right word in this context, but just the ease of jumping it right into the game has certainly improved quite a bit. And then obviously, like in the video, I clearly should not have just started out with a sorcerer, and I didn't go around town trying to buy things, which is probably what I should have done. I probably should try to buy armor, because I'm sure you said get started with a little gold, you know, try to buy something to help me out in that story would have helped a little bit. But you live, you learn, and that's how you did it back in those days.
So, I've only ever played the demo, so, you know, it came with PC Gamer.
Oh, really?
So I never got that far.
Ah, all right. Well, I thought the partnership was very interesting, too. I'm really surprised that Blizzard didn't do it themselves when they have the infrastructure set up to do that. So it just really surprised me. So anyway. All right. Well, let's move on. We're going to travel around and check out some rapid fire news and some other quick hit stories for the night.
So your free Epic game this month, or free game on the Epic Game Store, is Slime Rancher. So you should definitely go check that out. It's a pretty fun little indie game. And it's free until March 21st. And then the next game is going to be Oxen Free. So pick it up while you can, and I recommend you do that because it is a pretty good game. It's been on my Steam wish list for a while, and now I don't have to. And then this is pretty cool. Sadly, we don't have the footage of it, but apparently the DuckTales, you know, they have the new DuckTales cartoons. So they had an episode with Della Duck, and it was called, you know, I think, I don't remember the episode name. I don't know if it was called Whatever Happened to Della Duck. But basically, she is consoling some like space aliens. And she says, oh, well, I'm going to sing you a song I used to sing to my kids. And it ends up being the moon theme from the DuckTales game. And it's pretty awesome. So, pretty sweet. I mean, definitely worth checking out the episode, but it's a neat little kind of thing they have in there. You're going to try to pull it up here?
I was going to say, usually I don't do this because of copyright things, but I guess if I don't show the video, I just play the audio, which I think I can do. I think I'll be all right. But have you heard this, Dark Saga? This is
no.
Now, it's no Brentalfloss, but I will say Brentalfloss has acknowledged this and said, I think he kind of...
Yeah, he's the one that pointed.
He gave it kudos. But okay. So let's see if I can actually... So sadly, I'm not going to pump the video through, but I will do the audio. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here.
Look to the stars, my darling baby boys. Life is strange and vast, filled with wonder.
So
face each new sun with eyes clear.
I mean, I really like the way they did this, right? It's pretty cool. Like, you know, just the way they did like that throwback to the original Moon theme is really rad. So anyway, I know this new DuckTales series is getting a lot of kudos
across the
board.
Like, it's great. Really like good. I've seen some of the episodes for it, and it's solid. I mean, when the whole thing that they're going to do the DuckTales series and stuff, I kind of was hesitant, but it's been good. So pretty cool just to throw that in there just for like fans of the game, because I think not a lot of kids probably watching are going to pick up on that. So pretty cool.
But now if they go back and play the game, because of course not only do you have the old school DuckTales, but you have DuckTales Remastered was not that long ago. So if they go back and play that, it'll be like, oh, I recognize this from the cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny how that works out. So, a lot of folks in chat. First off, some folks saying, damn it, Rob, wipes tears. That's from Rama. And then ActDev says, DuckTales is freaking awesome. S200 Matt says, I wish I could catch it more. We need a full song. I think, a lot of people saying that would be really cool if they kind of put that out in like a full song. We'll probably get a lot of streams. Anyway, let's talk about something a little bit old school, like the Quake Engine. That's right, a brand new game coming out from 3D Realms called Wrath, Aeon of Ruin. It's actually something that's tapping into the Quake Engine, which is pretty cool. So, of course, as you know, Quake was the follow-up to Doom and so forth. So what happened is one of the designers that was, I think, on the original Doom, one of the designers that works on levels for like Quake, like modding still to this day, his name is Killpixel, and he's made a full-fledged game, and it's called Wrath, Aeon of Ruin. It's kind of built on the actual Quake engine, so that's pretty cool. And they're saying it's an authentic 90s shooter, not just something that's pretending to be, and so it's pretty much the game. It's not recognizable as Quake. They've turned it into something completely different, but it runs in that engine. I guess kind of like Hexen was kind of
cool. It'll get some high frame rates on my computer then.
You're right. All right. Anyway, as you may or may not be aware, International Women's Day was this past week, which I believe was Friday, if I have my calendar right in my head. And Sony PlayStation actually put out a PlayStation 4 theme to celebrate International Women's Day. So it's something that actually has characters from various games. So it has, am I saying his name right? Alloy from Alloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, Kara from Detroit Become Human, and Chloe and Nadine from Uncharted, as well as Kat from Gravity Rush. So some of their
And it's also got, I don't know, the from the paper, Tearaway, I don't...
Oh, a toy. A-T-O-I, a toy.
A toy?
Yeah. So, Sat Girl's there, too. So there's just, you know, there's some of Sony's girl power showing up there in the theme. So very cool. I haven't heard that there is a deadline to download it or anything. It's just something that they released. So I imagine if you haven't got it yet and you want some girl power on your PlayStation 4, you can go get it. Let's get some girl power on OLR with some headlines from Dark Sakura.
Oh, this one makes me particularly happy. We have the return of Segata Sanshiro. Well, kind of. He's gonna be returning for Sega Fest, even though he's dead in canon. Well, remember, because he sacrificed himself riding a rocket ship to save the Dreamcast. Because
right.
Yeah.
You've talked about this on the show before.
He
I didn't really
is the true
it.
Mascot of Sega. He was at least the mascot of the Sega Saturn. At any rate, he was portrayed by Fujioka Hiroshi, and he was memorable. He even had his own game. So anyway, he's going to be headlining for Sega Fest, and that's March 30th through 31st. And hopefully he won't get blasted off on another rocket. And then Bloodstained Curse of the Moon will have a physical release through Limited Run. So it is going to be March 15th, 2019, and it's going to start at 10 o'clock Eastern. It doesn't say if it's PM or AM, so I will assume AM, because maybe they would have done military time otherwise. But at any rate, they sell out like that. So you want it, you be ready for it.
I like what this company does. They do this for a lot of, kind of like, in strong indie titles, we'll say. And their limited runs go very, very strongly. So
there's one for Toe Jam and Earl on pre-order right now.
Yeah.
But I was going to see if they had it up on a pre-order. Windjammers for Switch. Holy crap.
Yeah, that game had a resurgence not that long ago because some popular YouTuber or other Twitch
channel.
Oh, yeah,
it was
plays that. Yeah.
Gaming with Sax.
Yeah.
Which is the GameSat guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's it for Rapid Fire News. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, some things that are coming to you real soon.
It's a bit of a slower week. This week we've got the Caligula Effect Overdose on PC, Switch, and PlayStation 4. One Piece World Seeker on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And finally, Tom Clancy's The Division 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
That's probably the big release for us this week, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Traveling over to Japan, it's a little busier than it was last week. I seem to remember last week was kind of not as many releases. But we do have this week, speaking of Sega, they're releasing on the PlayStation 4, Blade Arcus Rebellion from Shining is coming out in a regular and premium edition. Sengoku Musou 4 DX in a regular and 15th anniversary box. So I guess that's some type of remaster of that game, because I think that already that would be Sengoku Musou's Dynasty Warriors, right?
Yeah.
So it's I think a remaster for the PlayStation 4 of the fourth one in that series. So anyway, so that is out this week, as well as a game called Lover in Japan. Destiny Connect is also out in Japan this week. Alias Carnival Sacrament Plus in regular and limited edition, and Kemco RPG Selection Volume 2 is out this week. So this is like a greatest hits. I'm trying to see what's in this. Revenant Dogma, Alvastia Chronicles, As Divine Hearts 2, and Fern's Gate. And those are some deep cut JRPGs, you know, but if you're a fan of those, you're probably very excited to hear that's coming out on a PlayStation 4 in a box set this week. That's pretty cool. Taking a look real quick at the Switch to see if they have anything there. Destiny Connect, Blade Arcus Rebellion from Shining, Sengoku Musou 4, all of that also on the Switch as well. Also, a game called Harukanaru Toki no Naka de 6 DX in a regular, treasure, and To the Future box. One other game on the Switch this week, you know, Konoyo no Hate de Koi o Utao Shouju comes out this week. So,
how is that first word spelled?
Busy week. K-O-N-O-Y-O. Konoyo.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you know for some reason. I was like,
oh,
because
it's U-Y-U-N-O. You know,
okay.
And then colon. Yeah.
Gotcha. So. Just for a moment, I was like,
yeah, me fuck up Japanese pronunciation.
No, no, no.
You know, it's
trying
wrong.
I was trying to figure out what it was.
After 15 years, I'm an expert. No, I
was trying to figure out what it was.
All right. How about the UK? It's good to have you back, Darsocker. I'm sure Loki's happy he doesn't have to do these days anymore.
Just a few things. So we have the Division 2 Collector's Edition with early access out on the 11th, which is already the 11th in the UK right now, I think, or almost the 11th. They're 8 hours ahead of us, whatever. But
7 now. Yeah. Or 9.
No, they changed to...
No, 7. Yeah.
I think they changed.
They changed at a different time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatevs. It's coming out on the 11th. On the 14th is the rest of these. That's Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy. There is QR, Infernal Machines, more Division 2 Washington Edition on the 14th, and the Division 2 officially on March 14th, the Lego Movie 2 video game, and One Piece World Seeker.
All right. That's it for the UK.
Yes.
All right. This is the part of the show where we would usually go to the mailbag, where you guys can send your emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And last week, we had quite a few emails to read on the show. But
did you read one from Ranma?
Yes, I did last week.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, in this week's mailbag...
I didn't delete any of them.
It's... Well, you know how it goes. In this week's mailbag, I believe it's empty.
It is empty.
So, Dark Soccer must have told you all not to email so she didn't have to work tonight. So...
Because I ain't going to do shit.
She wants a vacation on her first night back. No.
Right.
Hopefully we'll get some emails for next week. So participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But y'all, what's the punishment when we don't get any emails? Guess what, Dark Sakura? Drag Race talk.
Yeah, I was about to go get some water.
Quickly, who are you rooting for on season 11? I haven't seen the last episode yet anyway because I was in Vegas. So just overall.
The Oddly one.
Who are you rooting for in season 11? Evie Oddly?
Evie Oddly and maybe Nina Flowers.
Okay, well, Nina Flowers isn't on this season, girl.
Why did I say Nina Flowers?
Because that's Evie Oddly's, like, drag sister or something like that.
No, not Nina Flowers. Nina like, West.
Nina West. There you go.
Nina West.
Okay, yes, Nina West.
Because I was rooting for Soju, but Soju was terrible. And I'm so glad I called that bitch out on getting a Wish outfit. I'm like, girl, no, I will find this and post in the chat.
I believe you.
I was like... it's like a little Wild Lolita kimono, and I bought one just to see what they look like. So I'm not saying anything. I haven't worn it because it didn't fit at the time. It might fit now, but this bitch got it on Wish because it's the only place you can get this shit. And I commented, and she's like, "Yeah, I did it. I'm sorry."
She commented.
Yeah.
That's funny. She doesn't have to apologize. So what? She got a dress on Wish. Who cares? It's not about...
But it's bad.
Bob the drag queen won a challenge in a Tron outfit that she bought on Amazon. And somebody was like, here's the Amazon listing for that outfit she just won a challenge in. Yeah, right?
I need that.
So look it up.
Anyway. I'm actually, when I do Disney bounding, I have that Tron shirt now.
There you go.
That's got the identity disc on the back and everything.
Yeah.
I might order the Korra one, though. That'd be sweet.
So far, Evie Oddly's my favorite, too. I really wanted to like Silky. But that
Silky's
first,
annoying as fuck.
That first episode. I just want a big girl to win already, damn it.
Okay, Silky, I'm standing up because of my Apple Watch.
It's fine.
Stand up. Silky makes me think of Jiggly Caliente Snooki, except nothing but an entire episode of that fucking shit.
All right, anyway, if you would like to send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, or we will further the Drag Race talk next week when I catch up on the show.
One more thing. Scarlet Envy, I can't stand that heifer.
Okay, fine. Moving on. Let's get back into some video game. Loki's just sitting here this whole time going, it's like they're speaking a foreign language. All right.
Don't worry, me too.
All right. Loki, what do you have next for us?
So there was issues with Anthem. I think it's still going on. Issues with Anthem crashing PlayStation 4s. To the point where
I believe a patch came out over the weekend.
Okay. Well, originally it was crashing them to the point where you had to actually, they would shut the console off and you'd have to rebuild the file system, which is bad, but apparently I guess they have patched it out. So that's good, but really shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. But yeah, I know that there was a scare for a while that actually it was bricking consoles, but thankfully, once people found out that they could boot in the safe mode and rebuild their file system, then everything was back.
Which is what happens when your PlayStation 4 shuts down unexpectedly anyway.
But it was doing it, like, it wasn't allowing you even to just close out the application. It was also kind of, breaking stuff in that sense.
Oh, Questbuster in chat is correcting me, saying the patch doesn't cover the crashes, only some of the loot issues and a few other things. Oh, I thought this was a fix for that, too.
Oh, okay. Oh,
well, I say fucking good.
Well, some people are liking it. I'm just, I've put out the reasons why I'm waiting.
Karma.
put out the reasons why I'm waiting. If y'all are enjoying it, have fun. You know,
BioWare fucked over their good fans, so whatever.
You do you, I guess.
I don't want to keep shitting on this game. I just want to move on with our lives. So.
Okay. Well, let's just move on.
All right, we'll move on then. X-Link in chat says it's still crashing systems and the patch is out later this week. Shad Leland Shane is in chat saying, as much as I'm enjoying Anthem, I can't defend that issue. Talking about the bricking and so forth. Questbuster does reiterate, it's not bricking them. It just forcibly shuts the game down and made me think it bricked my PlayStation 4. So, and ActF points out, it's not great when the people that want to like Anthem are giving it a try.
Well, it's also like if it's shutting your system down in a way that needs to rebuild the file system because it won't start up normally, there is a risk for data loss or data corruption because of that. So, yeah. It may not be doing it yet, but it's not a good thing.
All right, well, let's move on. Somewhere out there, McCree is saying it's high noon, and this is a story about Pokemon Go and what's going to happen at high noon on March 13th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. in your local time zone. So it's not based on, you know, everything is centralized on Pacific time or, you know, the Asia-Pacific all has one time. It's 12 to 1 in your time zone. The number of raids in Pokemon Go will be increased. So they're actually calling this an experiment with lunch hour raid battles. And they're saying if the one-day trial runs well, if we sell a lot of raid passes, then this might be a regular thing to look forward to. Now, I don't really get to do this at my work because where my work is not really a very commercial office building area. It's just I work at the one random office building in the area. So I don't think I'll really get to benefit from this, but I definitely know people. And if Shane's still watching, he can attest to this because I know he used to play with the group over here in Rancho Cordova, more in your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. where they actually go out on lunchtime raids and they, you know, they're like, okay, we see that there's a five-star over here and a five-star over here, and they actually plan their route. So I'm thinking for those guys, man, they're going to have a field day that day because there's just going to be stuff spawning, I imagine, everywhere.
Let's go to the park by my work that's got like a few. It's an EX raid. There's an EX raid, and there's usually another one they do raids on. I'm just trying to grind raids right now just to because I'm doing the Meltan thing, and I got to get 10 raids. So what I've been doing, because I don't like actually doing the raids, is I go there, go into it, my free raid pass, get the credit for it, and quit out.
That's what I've been doing.
You can do it that way.
But I can raid it all.
Yeah, but you can do 1 and 2 stars on yourself.
Although these are all 5 that end up running into. Like, so.
Even a lot of 3 stars are very soluble. Yeah. So, but that new legendary Dialga, I don't know if I'm saying the name right. He's more useful than the ones we've had previously. He's worth having at least one of, and apparently I don't think you need a ton of people to take him down. So I got very lucky. Like the first one that spawned in all of Sacramento happened to spawn right by my work, and I caught him on the first ball. So I was like, great, I'm done for this month. And he was a pretty decent appraisal. So I'm like, wow, the Pokemon gods are smiling on me today. I'm done. So that was that. No, I'll probably still try to go catch more, especially if Alan, you know, because if Alan can't get one now that there's trading. In fact, I think he missed Regice, and I got one today in my little bonus box. So I'm going to give it to Alan if he doesn't have one already. I know he's missing one of the Regis. I think it might be Regirock, though. Anyway, let's see. Other comments in chat. ActDev says Palkia is also useful. Dialga is doable if you have really good Machamps or Groudons. Shane is saying, I was getting ready for Rayquaza this weekend and spent 1.1 million Stardust to power up my Pokemon for it, since my husband and our friends are not as high a level as me, and I'll be doing the heavy lifting. The Rayquaza thing's coming up next weekend, though, right? That's not... I didn't miss it when I was in Vegas, did I? I might have.
I don't know.
I think it's next weekend when that all goes down. So, do you do Pokemon raiding, Misty?
Not really, especially considering... Well, one, I'm usually working during raid times. And I'm also, when I am at work and at home, I'm not in a very stop/gym dense area, so.
You know, and that is a good point, is that, you know, 12 to 1 might be your standard lunch, but there's a lot of people out there who don't work standard hours. We even have in chat SG and Hunter Matt saying, I won't be able to do this. I'm a supervisor at my job, so I can't leave and let the inmates run the asylum for me to raid. Fair point. And, you know, there's plenty of industries where you don't get to work the standard.
What time was it again?
9 to 5. Noon to 1.
On
March the 13th, which would be, today's the 10th, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be at work.
So, yeah, so not everybody can do it. But I guess they just note that, well, it'll be, that's why they're trying it. Maybe they're just trying to see what's the engagement like. So, I would love, if I'm able to get away from my desk for an amount of time, I would love to try to find some raids and, you know, just for fun, especially if, they put out some – I think they would really draw people out if they put out some surprises, like not just Dialga, but maybe, you know, some of the shiny variants coming back or something. It would be kind of neat. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope this does turn out to be a successful experiment because, granted, they get in scheduling patterns with me, but Wednesday seems to usually be one of my days off.
All right. Well, you never know. All right. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. For those of you that are playing Pokemon Go, I'm sure we'll hear about it this next week. Because not every Pokemon Go event always goes swimmingly. There was that whole Phoebus event they did that was kind of a nightmare. But then they improved on it when they did Clamperl. So, you know, things are fixable. Anyhow, speaking of fixing things, Dark Sakura.
Well, this one, I was a little bit confused about this one because I thought it had already been settled. But Alfonso Ribeiro filed to drop a suit against the Fortnite creators over the Carlton dance being in the game, which I thought that it had been thrown out already.
I can clarify a little bit. What happened is that he tried to get a copyright on it, and that was the thing that was denied previously. They basically, the office came back and said, it's a very simple dance, you're denied. And I think when we heard that, we kind of saw this coming, but now it's here.
He just, withdrew his filing and said he was going to drop the case. So there you go. Everyone get your Carlton dance on. And on top of that, he doesn't own the dance anyway because it's owned by ABC.
NBC.
NBC. But nobody, whatever BC.
Well, actually, Copyright Office says no one owns it. No. So Carlton, all you want. Here we go. Just kidding. I'm not doing it again. I did that
on
the first.
Unusual
I did it on the first stream, and I'm not doing that again. Somebody gift it, and I'm like, oh boy, I learned my lesson about what to do and what not to do on stream. But anyway, I think it was all the folks that were suing got thrown out, right? Because the same lawyer was representing everybody, right? Like Backpack Kid and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I think they all got thrown out. So.
Yeah. I just. It seems like it's a money grab.
Yeah. All right.
Or an attempt at relevancy.
Well, yeah, and I think for somebody like, you know, Alfonso Ribeiro, who's known for that, like that is playing that role really defined his career, and he worked it into Dancing with the Stars and everything. Like, you know, that I think was important to his brand. So for him to lose that probably sucks. But at the same time, like, I kind of think, you know, having seen Alfonso Ribeiro on Dancing with the Stars, he's much more than just, like, he's capable of doing more. And now he's turned that into more hosting gigs and things like mm-hmm. that. And, like, you know, we'd love to see a good 90s personality show up as a host every now and then. And so I feel like the dude's going to have a career that he doesn't have to own that dance to have a very great career that a lot of us would be gifted to have. So maybe there's a point where he even said, you know what, I don't want to be known as the guy that shut down Fortnite.
I mean... Just think about it. You might be able to turn that gig into a CG genie someday.
No. All right. Moving on. Just a few more stories for you guys. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of cool. I mean, it just came out, and I haven't picked it up because I still haven't played through the third one. But apparently Just Cause 4 is already included in Xbox Game Pass. So you can go ahead and check that out with your $10 a month subscription.
And that just came out.
Yep.
Yeah.
In December. So that's pretty quick. But, I mean, I guess it's not as quick as, like, say, some of the first-party games. This is notable just because it's a third-party game. But, you know, usually, like, stuff is day and date with, like, Crackdown and stuff. But it's a pretty good game from what I hear. I can't see myself diving into it because I still haven't played the third one, which I own and bought, and there's plenty of other games that are still in my backlog, Kingdom Hearts 3, Final Fantasy 15, that I haven't gotten a chance to play yet. So I'm gonna have to hold off on more Square Enix games at this time.
All right, then. All right, and one more story for you guys tonight before we open up our Discord. If you want to participate with the show via Discord tonight, you can join our free Discord server, because they're all free, over at vognetwork.com/Discord. If you want to head on over to the Green Room, we will take your call. We'll try to take your call a little later on in the show. If you want to increase your chances of getting picked first, you want to say in the Orange Lounge Radio channel what it is you want to call in about tonight. Meanwhile, before we get there, let's talk about, this is pretty exciting, a new NES game was unearthed. So a brand new wrestling game for the NES. It was called UWC, which is probably some type of like Universal United Wrestling Conspiracy. I don't know. But it was a game that was made by SATA, and it was discovered recently on a review cartridge. So the game was near completion, but for whatever reason was not released. Maybe it was just something that was came out in the late in the lifespan of the NES, and they just decided it wouldn't be worth it. This thing was discovered, and I guess it's going to the classic archive that they've been putting at that classic video gaming museum, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get it all deconstructed, and I believe we're planning on releasing the ROM soon so more people can enjoy that, you know, if you want to check out a little piece of history. So there you go, UWC, a brand new NES game unearthed this week that just never happened. Dr. Suya in chat saying, I think this was like the precursor to WCW, at least what I read looking into this story. Yeah, probably. So, you know, and obviously, you know, wrestling is a sport standard that always has video games that come out. Like, this is all, and, you know, even back in the NES days, we had that really awesome WrestleMania game that had, like, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant was in it. Like, all the faves we grew up with were in that WrestleMania 8-bit game. And, of course, like, you know, if you want to go on to the Switch online library, Pro Wrestling, which probably isn't as good, but it's still, you know, it's a wrestling game, and it's competent, and you can play it and have a little fun for a few minutes. So pretty cool. Anyway, Dr. Tisia also confirming in chat, I do know the ROM should be out there soon. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's head on into our listener roundtable, where we're going to open it up for some calls via our Discord. Or if you would prefer, you can also just jump in and anything you want to ask in our chat room, you can go ahead and do that. You can jump in our chat room, and anything you want to ask us, You can do that in there as well. If you're feeling too shy to call in and want to participate still with us one way or the other, you can do that there. So I think we do already have a call on the line. I'm just not set up because, again, that freaking power outage from earlier screwed us up. But anyway, let's get to it, and we'll start with this call. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Metal Mayhem. How's it going?
Hey, good, Metal Mayhem. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Can't complain. Well, since you mentioned Diablo earlier during the show, I thought I'd talk about it since it's relevant. Now, bear in mind, back in the 90s, I was not a PC gamer. I was strictly console. I did have a PlayStation 1, and there was a PS1 port of Diablo.
There was. I was just about to say, Diablo was on consoles, yes.
Along with Warcraft 2, but I'll see if that decided for another show. And I played the ever-living crap out of Diablo. Unfortunately, I never got a chance to play the PC version because I didn't have a PC back then. PC gaming was too expensive for me back then. But, from what I've been told, if I were to somehow come across a box copy of Diablo, it would not run on modern machines for one reason or another. So, when I heard that Diablo was re-released and they got it working on modern PCs, I haven't had the PS1 version of the game in years. I've been wanting to play the original Diablo again. Diablo 2, that's my first PC game, but it's all Diablo. But at the same time, I'm a little conflicted because the four of you probably remember there's a thing, a little bit of a brouhaha a few months back regarding GOG and CD Projekt Red and one of their other companies. I guess the branch that was working on Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes, I'm well aware of that. And it's one of those things where this news of a partnership with Blizzard is really too big to ignore. And also, I think we've heard of a lot of really dumb fuck moves by PR people lately. And I hope the entire PR industry is really evaluating some of their edgy things that they do out there. And I'd prefer to leave it at that.
Yeah. All that being said, I've been kind of like, for lack of a better analogy, kind of like a deer stuck in the headlights. Do I buy the game that I really want to play? Do I not?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Ragenator. It's probably harder than you remember, for one. I mean, take a look at that clip that I just did earlier where I died twice. Now, if I really kind of sat down and, like, forced myself to get good, so to speak, I could probably remember, like, oh, these are the things that I'm doing wrong. Maybe I'd have to consult a walkthrough or something to kind of help me out a little bit and kind of jumpstart my brain as to what we were kind of doing back in the day with those games, which, to be fair, on BBSs and stuff, we were trading the same, knowledge, and the internet was still in its early days. So, game facts did exist in earlier forms and so forth. You can kind of pick up what you're supposed to be doing in Diablo and get it that way. But, at the same time, you kind of may go back and go to it and you're like, oh shit, when I play something like Diablo 3, I really do have all these quality of life improvements that I sometimes forget about because Diablo 3 really got shit on when it first came out. I mean, it's a fine game now. But you kind of start to realize like, oh, in a game like Diablo 3, you really kind of could just like jump in there and get going. Whereas in the original Diablo, you couldn't do that. Or if you did, you kind of ended up like I did in my little sample stream that I did there earlier. So, I think as long as you go into it with the right mindset that it may take a bit for your brain to adjust to the 90s experience, then I don't think it's necessarily a waste of money, especially if it's a game you enjoyed. Just because it's old doesn't make it bad. But some of the conveniences of new are going to be lost, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And not only that, but admittedly, I have bought some other retro games, on GOG in the past that were available on, like, the N64. Like, for example, the Turok games and Shadows of the Empire. And at least with those, start them up, play for maybe, 5-10 minutes and say, oh, yeah, I remember this level. I remember that sound effect. I remember that weapon. Yeah, all right, I'm done. I'll, go play something else now.
So then the question would be, how much is $10 worth to you? Is $10 worth a 5-minute thrill and something to have in your library? Or do you think you're really going to sit down and spend the 3-4 hours, whatever your time is worth to you, to really make that $10 valuable? That's something, unfortunately, buddy, I can't answer for you.
If I can find some people to play with, the game with, either online or LAN or whatever, then really grind the character to the point where he's so overpowered, it's ridiculous, and turn on friendly fire and kill you. Sorry. Just kind of totally troll it. $10 is worth it.
Well, until you got to the trolling part, I was thinking that was, you could easily find a group either, on different web forums out there. Maybe you'll find some like-minded VOG people on our Discord. But even if not there, social media places like Twitter or Facebook or so forth, I bet you could find some other people to play through with and maybe have fun. But, it's funny because we're talking about these old games from the 90s being new again. You can team up with friends, and anything's more fun with friends. Diablo will be fun with friends. What was something I was talking about last week on the show was Phantasy Star Online. I recently rediscovered that playing Blue Burst with my buddy Delvin over at VG Realness, and Bobby joined in for some too, and I think Shane joined in at least for some of the chat, and that was great. I mean, even though that game has some ways that it shows its age as well, there's a lot that, especially playing with friends, makes a game like that more fun. So I think that's something else to consider. Maybe if you could find the friends to play with, it's going to make the Diablo experience, even though it's something old school, that much sweeter. But certainly, and as being said in chat too, just because something is old doesn't mean it's bad. So, but anyway, Metal Mayhem, I'm going to let you go so we can get more calls. But thank you so much, and take care. And I want to know if you end up getting it or not.
Yeah, the very earliest I can get is at the earliest, the 15th. I'm literally penniless until then. But
all right, well, keep us posted. Keep us posted on if you get the game or not. All right.
Oh, take care.
Take care. All right. That was Metal Mayhem here on Orange Lounge Radio. And we've our lobby's filling up here. Let's get to another call and get somebody else here on the line. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Nope.
They're gone.
That person dropped out. No, you're in the green room. You're coming on the show. Let's try that one more time. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Oh, this is X-Link. Sorry. Hey.
That's all right. I know it's a new way of doing it. It's not Skype anymore. What's on your mind, buddy?
Nothing much. Sorry, I haven't pushed the talk on, so that's probably the reason why.
No, for a minute you went back to the other channel, and I was like, no.
You get back here.
You get back in here.
Right? Right.
What's on your mind tonight?
So anyways, I got done being Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything. I just want to say it was worth the wait. Though I had a lot of questions, but it was definitely worth the playthrough, let me put it that way. And I'm glad nothing happened. It didn't break my console or didn't do anything crazy. So I was really happy with the purchase.
That's I'm glad to hear you. How many hours would you say you dumped in the game?
Oh, probably a little over 35.
So 30, 35 hours is still a pretty I was just talking to Metal Mayhem. I always want to say his old name. I was just talking to Metal Mayhem about, the value of $10 for a game like Diablo and how many hours you get out of it. But that's not bad. That's about 50 cents an hour for Kingdom Hearts. That's a pretty good value. So cool. What do you think about this story about the DLC they're thinking of doing? Because I think that was on last week's show. We talked a little bit about the DLC that was do you think there's room for DLC? Again, please keep it spoiler free. You know that. But what do you think there's room for DLC and what they could do? I think we lost him. Oh, we did. We lost him. He dropped out. Well, maybe he can speak up in chat on his thoughts there. Unfortunately, he dropped off of Discord. I don't know what happened there. Maybe the lightning in his neck of the woods took him out, just like it took out our show earlier there. So, well, bummer, because I would have liked to have heard his thoughts from somebody that beat it. But maybe he can get that in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. In the meantime, I am going to move on to the next call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Rama.
Hey, Rama. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. I'm just enjoying the warmer weather here, finally.
I'm enjoying the change of pace here, too. But I'm also – my mood is affected by the weather, so I'm just – I'm thankful to have a break from the rain. Or supposedly, until 6 o'clock tonight, I thought we were getting a break from the rain. But yeah,
I find the rain relaxing and I stress out less.
Yeah, but it's if you have certain season affective things, it can definitely take its toll on you after a while.
The summer is what stresses me out.
Interesting. Anyway, what's on your mind, Rama?
Well, before we continue, we also got to say we got to bless the rains down in Africa.
But I don't live there. I live in California, Rama.
Okay.
It's California dreaming on a winter's day, remember? All right, anyway.
Touche. Okay, a couple of things, and I'm going to be on my merry little way. So I watched an episode of DuckTales, and yes, I found myself tearing up a bit, not just because of the nostalgia of the music, the fact that she sang that as a lullaby to that one creature in the episode. I was like, this is too much for me.
Did you know that it was coming, or was it a surprise?
It was a surprise because a friend of mine was watching it, and she made a screen cap. I was like, wait, what? So I watched it, and I believe they played it 3 times in the episode. The first time, she was singing it like she was fighting the creature the first time. The second time, it was like in a background music. And the third time was when she actually sang it as a lullaby.
Oh, that's cool.
Second thing,
because they were moon mites.
Yeah, that's the name. I just couldn't remember the name of it.
I from the little clip, I thought she was on the moon, but to be, I haven't.
I think she was on the moon.
Oh, sure. Okay, I haven't watched the new DuckTales. Sorry, I was in Vegas for God's sake.
She is on the moon, basically.
Gotcha.
And she's trying to get back home to her kids.
Well, yeah. So it looked
wasn't
like,
that thing just a larva of the bigger creature?
The child of the bigger creature, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. A larva.
My bad.
Spoilers, y'all. Spoilers. Did it make you want to go back and play DuckTales?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do have remastered for PS3, so yeah. I think
that was a free game for PlayStation Plus at one point, wasn't it? One of those gave it away. It might have been the Microsoft platform that gave it away. Somebody
gave
it away.
Been. I don't know. Yeah. It could be in my backlog. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, the remaster's pretty solid. I think it's a fun one to go through. They changed it a little bit, but it's fun.
I would love to see DLC for the game where it's using updated graphics and voices from the current series. That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. That would be very cool. Well, anything else on your mind tonight, Rama, besides DuckTales?
Well, I will talk briefly about Mario Day. I have a funny story. This story is several years old, but here's the thing. When I was living back in my old town, I had other roommates, and we would sit there and play Super Nintendo all the time, that or N64. My roommate said that he had the highest score in the house of Super Mario World, and nobody could beat him. And he's just talking about like he is the king of Super Mario World. So one Saturday morning, I said, you know what? I'm going to shut him up. So I went out, got some soda and some chips, turned the TV on, turned on the Super Nintendo, and sat there. And I went through the entire levels of the game. Now, he's watching me, and he's going, you're not going to beat my score. I ignore him as I'm going through all the levels. And once I unlock Bowser's Castle, I stop. I go back. I open up the Star Road. I open that up and get the Special Zone. I open that up, and I go through the inverted Super Mario World, beat Bowser, look at him, hand him the controller, and walk out the living room.
Perfect. Sometimes spite is a wonderful motivator.
That's how I live my life.
Oh, Uchan, you had that levels of pettiness not even Vegeta could touch.
Well, thank you for the Mario memory. We love a good spiteful revenge story for a Mario memory. Rama, I'm going to let you go, though, so we can wrap up. But take care, and I'm sure maybe we'll hear more about DuckTales on Tuesday on Anime Jam Session.
We might just because me and Mako-chan were here watching it, so we definitely may talk about it.
Sounds good. Take care, buddy.
Awesome. Take care, y'all.
Later. All right. I think that's going to do it for Discord stuff tonight, but I did want to respond to some of the stuff that was in our chat over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. And they were talking about Pokemon Go. And where was it? Oh, yes. Shane had said, my Go hype is wearing down now that Sword and Shield were announced. All my Pokemon thoughts are directed towards those games. Why not both, though? Why can't you like both? I mean, I don't know. That's kind of where
I'm wondering if there's going to be.
I'm excited for Sword and Shield, but I'm still going to play Go.
Any interconnectivity between Let's Go and the new one?
Well, oh, you mean between Let's Go and Sword and Shield, or between Sword and Shield and Go? Because I could see that there'll be connectivity like they had in Let's Go. Not that like you'd be able to send a Pokemon over, but maybe it will unlock kind of like how Meltan you get.
Why wouldn't you be able to send Pokemon over?
Well, maybe you will. Maybe
because I mean it's Gen 8; it should all be in there.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. Well, because
Mewtwo.
But there's a big difference between catching them in Go and catching them in the role playing game format. I mean, I don't know. I guess if that's what they want to do, they can. But I'm not going to expect that.
Yeah.
So, but I would think there's going to be some type of functionality between the two, just to encourage fans of one to get the other and fans of the other to get the one and so forth, you know, that this would be a lost opportunity otherwise.
I wonder if they're going to re-release Let's Go like they do, you know, how they do like a yellow version or something like that where they have, you know, all this stuff combined in the one.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll do that.
Who knows? Let's see. Shane does continue in chat. I can like both, but I won't care as much about Go when I have Sword and Shield. But what if then, okay, but isn't like Gen 5, isn't that your favorite starter coming up? So, I mean, at some point, you know, the new Sword and Shield will come out, and then, you know, people are going to be focused on that for, you know, a couple months. But then couldn't Go just suddenly say, guess what? Gen 5 is out. Come get your Oshawott, right? And Shane, you might change your tone. I don't know. Because I would think Gen 5 is going to be next. So, I don't know. Right? Am I right? Am I way of thinking? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Shane does say, let's be real, Gen 5 won't be in Go until like 2026. I don't think you're right on that. Let's see. ActDef does say, I do need a Let's Go expansion with the Johto region. I bet that'll happen. I bet there will be a Let's Go for Gen 2. I think that game did well enough that maybe in the off year, so next year, I bet we, or maybe the year after, we'll get a Let's Go for Gen 2. It just seems, it seems like maybe that's where the remakes are now. You know, it used to be that the remakes were always kind of like a few gens behind. Now maybe that's, you know, mm-hmm. where the remakes are going to be is in the Let's Go series. Who knows? Who knows? Anyhow, Tiger Claw says they will probably do a Let's Go, but with a different Pokemon. Well, of course, it would have to be a Gen 2 Pokemon. But what iconic Gen 2 Pokemons could they pick? Because there isn't anything like Pikachu and Eevee unless they did like Espeon and Umbreon or something. That I think that might be the way to do it. Have well, the evolutions.
What were the starters though? In Gen
well, but you
two?
Had three.
Three.
Yeah, and remember when it was like the color games when it was Pokemon Silver and Gold, that didn't affect the starter Pokemons. It just affected what you would encounter in the wild. So your starter Pokemon still end up being. Let's see, that was Chikorita. Water was the Toadile, right? The little crocodile thing, mm-hmm. and then Fire was Cyndaquil. I got it. Cyndaquil. So those were your Gen 2 starters. But I just don't see – thank you for the applause. I just don't see them doing three separate games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Sia Tiberius thinks Snubbull and Meryl would be the ones. Who knows? I don't know. It's hard to say. So Sentret and – what are the ones that are just everywhere? What are the ones that are just like the, just the shitty mon that are everywhere? Sentret and the little spider dudes. What am I thinking of?
Spinarax?
Yeah, Spinarax. That's it. Anyway. All right. Bidoof said, no, Bidoof is Gen 4. They better do a Let's Go Bidoof for Gen 4. That would be fucking badass. I'd love that. All right. Anyway. All right. Well, that's going to do it.
Pokemon Rusty.
That's going to do it for the calls tonight, and we're going to start to wrap up the show tonight as we start to get into final thoughts. First off, I want to say, Misty. Oh, actually, I should ask: are there any last minute stories?
Yes, I have a couple. Actually,
all right,
so
sorry. Go for
there's,
it.
There's been some images leaked online from the patent for Google's new handheld Chromecast device, and we have a picture of what the controller might look like, and it looks like a PlayStation controller, except kind of flat, and it's like halfway PlayStation, halfway Ouya, and I hate the Ouya part of that.
Is
but
GDC this coming week?
No, but yeah, maybe. I know it's coming up, but the Google announcement is supposed to be on the 19th, so that's
okay.
A couple weeks.
Okay.
So there's that, and then apparently the trend nowadays is to remake Star Wars games in Unreal 4, so we have someone that's remade one of the levels of pod racer in Unreal 4, and then someone that's now working on recreating Star Wars Dark Forces in Unreal 4. And you can actually download both of those. So I will link them in chat.
Neat.
That's it.
That's it. All right. Misty, thank you for being here. I hope you had a good time tonight. Thanks for being
as
on
always.
The show. Great. It's always great to have you here. You come such a long way. I know you've been a hardcore fan of this show for a very long time, and your support really means the world. And I say that to all the fans out there. So thank you so much for taking the time out to be all the way out here with us in studio. It's great. I love it when the fan, I always feel weird saying fans, the listeners can, the participants, that was always a good word that we use with Vogue Network, the participants. I love when our participants can kind of come to the table and actually be at the table with us. It's always a great feeling. So, but Misty, you know, I'm going to ask you, any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I'm already sort of thinking about next time I come out. I do still need to cover some Bay Area trains, so I'm going to spend a few days there. Considering some other stuff I want to do, I'm going to spend a couple days in San Jose, I think, next time.
Oh, yeah, good call. Go to round one. Well, actually, round one will be here by this time next year, so.
But I do already have a round one card for San Jose.
Ah.
But if you know my Twitter, if you know have me on Facebook, and if you have ideas or want to meet up, you have permission to poke me wherever you know me.
Well, that's quite generous permission, Misty. All right.
Well, that's also considering. That's why I'm saying if you already know the correct info.
Ah, gotcha. All right. Let me ask this real quick, because I don't get to indulge your deep knowledge of transit and your travels. But what would you say is, like, you know, of all the cities that you've gone to in the world and, you know, experienced their transit and so forth, what is, like, the train ride you need to go on in the U.S.? What is the train ride you need to experience?
Even with how Amtrak sort of seems to be falling apart, if you could go on the Acela runs between Washington and Boston, don't have to necessarily go the whole route, but I would recommend that, especially in first class, because that is the closest thing we have to real high-speed rail, and even remotely on par with international trains.
Okay, you mean Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
D.C.
That's what I figured. Okay, so D.C. to Boston. Okay,
yep.
Very cool. All right, thank you. All right, we'll see you next time, and we'll see you
indeed.
In chat in the interim. So, all right. Let's see. Act Deft in chat saying, I wish Misty and I could have met up this time around, but sadly my schedule couldn't let me, and it wasn't easy for me to make the trip to where it would have been convenient to meet up. So, but he sends his love.
Again, maybe we can work the logistics up, because while I don't tolerate flights, I was half poking on Greyhound. A flight would be tolerable to the buses in this case.
Sometimes an hour up and down, it ain't so bad. It was,
well,
yeah.
Also, considering even with my very little grasp of languages, I know more Japanese than I do Spanish. So it's like, well, fuck, I might as well just not deal with transferring in a foreign city.
No better way to learn than immersion. Or so I hear. Anyway, thank you for being here, Misty.
That's what Google Translate is for in the extreme emergencies.
All right, let's go around and get our other final thoughts. I'll save Jamie for later since this is her first show back in a bit. So, Loki, I'll go to you. What's your final thought?
My final thought is maybe I'll play games this week.
That would be a good idea to come to a video game podcast to talk about games.
I have
games.
Other things I'm working on.
My final thought this week is cross your fingers and send me your motivational vibes, I guess, because thanks to Alan's new job, we have a gym membership again. And so I need to it's time to turn this jiggly puff into wiggly tough. So that's going to be the upcoming plan. So there's that. I didn't invent that. That's on a shirt somewhere.
I'd rather
so.
Kidnap you to Dave and Buster's and make you play Ace with me.
Well, sadly, I have to work, but, you know, I'd love to otherwise. And last but certainly not least, Dark Soccer, it's great to have you back here permanently. What's your final thought for our listeners tonight?
I love acupuncture a lot. But don't go to someone who does distal acupuncture. Make sure it is direct. And then be prepared to be really lightheaded. And that's it.
All right. A life tip from Dark Soccer. That's going to do it for us here in studio. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days right back here on Twitch for a special St. Patrick's Day edition of OLR. Well, that should be fun.
Hooray.
Some green beer lounge radio next week. We'll see. We'll see you then, everybody. Happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios.
to join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.